Julius Caesar, William Shakespeare. Listen to and download free AI-generated audiobooks at 3ords.com. The Project Gutenberg ebook of Julius Caesar. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook title. Julius Caesar, author, William Shakespeare, release date, November 1, 1998, ebook 1522, most recently updated, September 19, 2025, language, English, other information and formats. www.gutenberg.org/ebook/1522, credits. The PG Shakespeare team, a team of about 20 Project Gutenberg volunteers. Asterisk start of the project GUTENBERG EBOOK Julius Caesar asterisk. The Tragedy of Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare. Contents Act I Scene I Rome. A street, scene II, the same, a public place, scene II, the same, a street. Act II Scene I Rome, Brutus Orchard, scene II, a room in Caesar's palace, scene II. A street near the Capitol, scene IV. Another part of the same street before the House of Brutus, Act II, scene I Rome. Before the Capitol, the Senate sitting, scene II, the same. The Forum, scene II, the same. A street, Act IV, scene II, a room in Antony's house, scene II. Before Brutus' tent, in the camp near Sardis, scene II, within the tent of Brutus, Act V, scene II, the plains of Philippi, scene II, the same. The field of battle, scene III, another part of the field, scene IV, another part of the field, scene V, another part of the field, Dramatis Personae, Julius Caesar, Octavius Caesar, Triumvir after his death, Marcus Antonius, M, AEMILIUS, LEPIDUS, Cicero, PUBLIUS, POPLIUS, Lena, Senators, Marcus Brutus, Conspirator against Caesar, Cassius, Casca, Trebonius, Ligarius, Dicius Brutus, Metellus CIMBR, Cinna, Flavius, Tribune Marullus, Tribune Artemidorus, a sophist of Cnidos, a soothsayer, Cinna, a poet, another poet, Lucilius, Titanius, Messala, Young Cato, and Volumnius, friends to Brutus and Cassius, Varro, Clitus, Claudius, Estirato, Lucius, Dardanius, servants to Brutus, Pindarus, servant to Cassius, Calphurnia, wife to Caesar, Portia, wife to Brutus, the ghost of Caesar, senators, citizens, soldiers, commoners, messengers, and servants. Scene: Rome, the conspirators' camp near Sardis, and the plains of Philippi. ACTI, scene I Rome. A street, enter, Flavius Marullus and a throng of citizens. Flavius, hence. Home, you idle creatures, get you home, is this a holiday? What know you not, being mechanical, you ought not walk, upon a laboring day without the sign of your profession? Speak, what trade art thou, carpenter? Why, sir, a carpenter, Marullus. Where is thy leather apron and thy rule? What dost thou with thy best apparel on you, sir? What trade are you, cobbler? Truly, sir, in respect of a fine workman, I am but, as you would say, a cobbler Marullus, but what trade art thou? Answer me directly, cobbler a trade, sir, that I hope I may use with a safe conscience, which is indeed, sir, a mender of bad souls, Marullus. What trade, thou knave? Thou naughty knave, what trade, cobbler? Nay, I beseech you, sir, be not out with me. Yet if you be out, sir, I can mend you, Marullus. What meanst thee thou by that? Mend me, thou saucy fellow, cobbler. Why, sir, cobble you? Flavius, thou art a cobbler, art thou? Cobbler, truly, sir, all that I live by is with thee all, I meddle with no tradesmen. Matters, nor women's matters, but withal I am indeed, sir, a surgeon to old shoes. When they are in great danger, I recover them. As proper men as ever, trod upon neat's leather have gone upon my handiwork, Flavius. But wherefore art not in thy shop today? Why dost thou lead these men about the streets, cobbler, truly, sir, to wear out their shoes, to get myself into more work? But indeed, sir, we make holiday to see Caesar and to rejoice in his triumph. Marullus, wherefore rejoice? What conquest brings he home? What tributaries follow him to Rome? To grace in captive bonds his chariot wheels, you blocks, you stones, you worse than senseless things. O you hard hearts, you cruel men of Rome, knew you not Pompey? Many a time and oft have you climbed up to walls and battlements, to towers and windows, yea, to chimney tops, your infants in your arms, and there have sat the livelong day with patient expectation, to see great Pompey pass the streets of Rome, and when you saw his chariot but appear, have you not made an universal shout, that Tiber trembled underneath her banks? To hear the replication of your sounds, made in her concave shores, and do you now put on your best attire, and do you now call out a holiday, and do you now strew flowers in his way? That comes in triumph over Pompey's blood, be gone, run to your houses, fall upon your knees. Pray to the gods to intermit the plague. That needs must light on this ingratitude. Flavius, go, go, good countrymen, and for this fault, assemble all the poor men of your sort, draw them to Tiber banks, and weep your tears into the channel till the lowest stream, do kiss the most exalted shores of all. Exeunt, citizens, see whether their basest metal be not moved, they vanish tongue-tied in their guiltiness. Go you down that way towards the capital, this way will I disrobe the images. If you do find them decked with ceremonies, Marullus, may we do so? You know it is the feast of Lupercal Flavius. It is no matter. Let no images be hung with Caesar's trophies. I'll about and drive away the vulgar from the streets, so do you too where you perceive them thick. These growing feathers plucked from Caesar's wing will make him fly an ordinary pitch. Who else would soar above the view of men and keep us all in servile fearfulness? Exeunt. Scene II. The same. A public place. Enter in procession with music, Caesar, Antony, for the chorus Calphurnia, Portia, Decius, Cicero, Brutus, Cassius, and Casca, a great crowd following among them a soothsayer. Caesar, Calphurnia, Casca, peace, ho, Caesar speaks. Music ceases. Caesar, Calphurnia, Calphurnia, hear my lord Caesar, stand you directly in Antonius' way when he doth run his course. Antonius, Antony, Caesar, my lord Caesar. Forget not in your speed, Antonius, to touch Calphurnia, for our elders say. The baron touched in this holy chase, shake off their sterile curse. Antony, I shall remember when Caesar says do this, it is performed, Caesar set on, and leave no ceremony out. Music. Soothsayer Caesar, Caesar, ha, who calls Casca, bid every noise be still, peace yet again. Music ceases. Caesar, who is it in the press that calls on me? I hear a tongue shriller than all the music. Cry Caesar, speak. Caesar is turned to hear. Soothsayer, beware the Ides of March, Caesar. What man is that, Brutus? A soothsayer bids you beware the Ides of March, Caesar, set him before me, let me see his face. Cassius, fellow come from the throng, look upon Caesar, Caesar, what sayst thee thou to me now? Speak once again, soothsayer, beware the Ides of March, Caesar, he is a dreamer, let us leave him. Pass, Senate, exeunt all but Brutus, and Cassius. Cassius, will you go see the order of the course, Brutus? Not I, Cassius. I pray you do, Brutus, I am not gamesome, I do lack some part. Of that quick spirit that is in Antony. Let me not hinder, Cassius, your desires I'll leave you, Cassius. Brutus, I do observe you now of late, I have not from your eyes that gentleness, and show of love as I was wont to have, you bear too stubborn and too strange a hand, over your friend that loves you, Brutus, Cassius, be not deceived, if I have veiled my look, I turn the trouble of my countenance, merely upon myself. Vexed I am, of late with passions of some difference, conceptions only proper to myself, which give some soil perhaps to my behaviors, but let not therefore my good friends be grieved. Among which number, Cassius, be you one, nor construe any further my neglect, than that poor Brutus with himself at war, forgets the shows of love to other men, Cassius. Then, Brutus, I have much mistook your passion by means whereof this breast of mine hath buried, thoughts of great value, worthy cogitations. Tell me, good Brutus, can you see your face? Brutus. No, Cassius, for the eye sees not itself. But by reflection, by some other thing, Cassius. 'Tis just, and it is very much lamented, Brutus, that you have no such mirrors as will turn your hidden worthiness into your eye, that you might see your shadow. I have heard, where many of the best respect in Rome, except immortal Caesar speaking of Brutus and groaning underneath this age's yoke, have wished that noble Brutus had his eyes, Brutus. Into what dangers would you lead me, Cassius, that you would have me seek into myself, for that which is not in me? Cassius, therefore, good Brutus, be prepared to hear, and since you know you cannot see yourself, so well as by reflection I your glass, will modestly discover to yourself, that of yourself which you yet know not of, and be not jealous on me, gentle Brutus, were I a common laugher or did use, to stale with ordinary oaths my love, to every new protester, if you know, that I do fawn on men and hug them hard, and after scandal them, or if you know, that I profess myself in banqueting. To all the rout then hold me dangerous, flourish and shout. Brutus, what means this shouting? I do fear the people choose Caesar for their king, Cassius. I do fear it, then must I think you would not have it so. Brutus, I would not, Cassius, yet I love him well, but wherefore do you hold me here so long? What is it that you would impart to me, if it be aught toward the general good? Set honor in one eye and death I the other, and I will look on both indifferently, for let the gods so speed me as I love. The name of honor more than I fear death, Cassius. I know that virtue to be in you, Brutus, as well as I do know your outward favor. Well, honor is the subject of my story. I cannot tell what you and other men think of this life, but for my single self, I had as lief not be as live to be, in awe of such a thing as I myself. I was born free as Caesar, so were you. We both have fed as well, and we can both endure the winter's cold as well as he for once upon a raw and gusty day, the troubled Tiber chafing with her shores. Caesar said to me, "Darst thou, Cassius, now leap in with me into this angry flood and swim to yonder point?" Upon the word, accoutred as I was, I plunged in and bade him follow. So indeed he did. The torrent roared, and we did buffet it, with lusty sinews, throwing it aside, and stemming it with hearts of controversy. But ere we could arrive the point proposed, Caesar cried, "Help me, Cassius, or I sink." I, as Aeneas, our great ancestor, did from the flames of Troy upon his shoulder, the old Anchises bear, so from the waves of Tiber, did I the tired Caesar. And this man is now become a god, and Cassius is a wretched creature and must bend his body. If Caesar carelessly but nod on him, he had a fever when he was in Spain, and when the fit was on him, I did mark how he did shake. 'Tis true, this god did shake, his coward lips did from their color fly, and that same eye whose bend doth awe the world did lose his luster. I did hear him groan, aye, and that tongue of his that bade the Romans mark him and write his speeches in their books. Alas, it cried, give me some drink to Tineus, as a sick girl. Ye gods, it doth amaze me. A man of such a feeble temper should so get the start of the majestic world and bear the palm alone. Shout, flourish, Brutus. Another general shout, I do believe that these applauses are for some new honors that are heaped on Caesar, Cassius. Why, man, he doth bestride the narrow world like a colossus, and we petty men walk under his huge legs and peep about to find ourselves dishonorable graves. Men at some time are masters of their fates. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings. Brutus and Caesar. What should be in that Caesar? Why should that name be sounded more than yours? Write them together, yours is as fair a name. Sound them, it doth become the mouth as well. Weigh them, it is as heavy. Conjure with them. Brutus will start a spirit as soon as Caesar. Now in the names of all the gods at once, upon what meat doth this our Caesar feed, that he is grown so great? Age, thou art shammed, Rome, thou hast lost the breed of noble bloods, when went there by an age since the great flood. But it was famed with more than with one man, when could they say, till now, that talked of Rome? That her wide walls but one man now is it Rome indeed, and room enough, when there is in it but one only man. Oh, you and I have heard our fathers say, there was a Brutus once that would have brooked th eternal devil to keep his state in Rome, as easily as a king. Brutus, that you do love me, I am nothing jealous what you would work me to, I have some aim, how I have thought of this, and of these times, I shall recount hereafter. For this present, I would not, so with love I might entreat you, be any further moved. What you have said, I will consider. What you have to say, I will with patience hear and find a time, both meet to hear and answer such high things. Till then, my noble friend, chew upon this. Brutus had rather be a villager than to repute himself a son of Rome, under these hard conditions as this time is like to lay upon us. Cassius, I am glad that my weak words have struck but thus much show of fire from Brutus. Enter, Caesar, and his train, Brutus. The games are done, and Caesar is returning. Cassius, as they pass by, pluck Casca by the sleeve, and he will, after his sour fashion, tell you what hath preceded worthy note today, Brutus, I will do so. But look you, Cassius, the angry spot doth glow on Caesar's brow, and all the rest look like a chidden train. Calphurnia's cheek is pale, and Cicero looks with such ferret and such fiery eyes, as we have seen him in the Capitol, being crossed in conference by some senators, Cassius. Casca will tell us what the matter is. Caesar, Antonius. Antony, Caesar, Caesar. Let me have men about me that are fat, sleek-headed men, and such as sleep o'nights. Yon Cassius has a lean and hungry look, he thinks too much. Such men are dangerous. Antony, fear him not, Caesar, he's not dangerous, he is a noble Roman and well given. Caesar, would he were fatter. But I fear him not, yet if my name were liable to fear, I do not know the man I should avoid, so soon as that spare Cassius. He reads much. He is a great observer, and he looks quite through the deeds of men. He loves no plays, as thou dost, Antony. He hears no music. Seldom he smiles, and smiles in such a sort, as if he mocked himself and scorned his spirit. That could be moved to smile at anything. Such men as he be never at heart's ease, whiles they behold a greater than themselves, and therefore are they very dangerous. I rather tell thee what is to be feared than what I fear, for always I am Caesar, come on my right hand, for this ear is deaf. And tell me truly what thou thinkst of him. Exeunt, Caesar and his train, Casca, stays. Casca, you pulled me by the cloak, would you speak with me, Brutus? I, Casca, tell us what hath chanked today, that Caesar looks so sad, Casca. Why you were with him, were you not, Brutus? I should not then ask Casca what had chanked, Casca. Why, there was a crown offered him, and being offered him, he put it by with the back of his hand thus, and then the people fell a-shouting, Brutus. What was the second noise for Casca? Why, for that too, Cassius, they shouted thrice. What was the last cry for Casca? Why, for that too, Brutus, was the crown offered him thrice, Casca, I marry, wast, and he put it by thrice, every time gentler than other, and, at every putting by mine, honest neighbors shouted, Cassius, who offered him the crown, Casca, why, Antony, Brutus, tell us the manner of it, gentle Casca, Casca, I can as well be hanged, as tell the manner of it, it was mere foolery, I did not mark it. I saw Mark Antony offer him a crown, yet twas not a crown, neither, twas one of these coronets, and, as I told you, he put it by once, but for all that to my thinking he would fain have had it. Then he offered it to him again, then he put it by again, but to my thinking he was very loath to lay his fingers off it. And then he offered it the third time, he put it the third time by, and still, as he refused it, the rabblement hooted and clapped their chopped hands and threw up their sweaty nightcaps and uttered such a deal of stinking breath because Caesar refused the crown that it had almost choked Caesar, for he swooned and fell down at it. And for mine own part, I durst not laugh for fear of opening my lips and receiving the bad air, Cassius. But soft, I pray you. What did Caesar swoon, Casca? He fell down in the marketplace and foamed at mouth and was speechless, Brutus. Tease very like. He hath the falling sickness, Cassius. No, Caesar hath it not. But you and I and honest Casca, we have the falling sickness. Casca, I know not what you mean by that. But I am sure Caesar fell down. If the Tagrag people did not clap him and hiss him, according as he pleased and displeased them, as they used to do the players in the theater, I am no true man, Brutus. What said he when he came unto himself, Casca? Mary, before he fell down, when he perceived the common herd was glad he refused the crown, he plucked me ope his doublet, and offered them his throat, to cut. And I had been a man of any occupation if I would not have taken him. At a word, I would I might go to hell among the rogues. And so he fell. When he came to himself again, he said, if he had done or said anything amiss, he desired their worships to think it was his infirmity. Three or four wenches, where I stood, cried, alas, good soul, and forgave him with all their hearts. But there's no heed to be taken of them. If Caesar had stabbed their mothers, they would have done no less, Brutus, and after that he came the sad away, Casca. I, Cassius, did Cicero say anything, Casca? I, he spoke Greek, Cassius, to what effect, Casca? Nay, and I tell you that I'll ne'er look you eye the face again. But those that understood him smiled at one another and shook their heads, but for mine own part, it was Greek to me. I could tell you more news too, Marullus and Flavius. For pulling scarfs off Caesar's images are put to silence. Fare you well, there was more foolery yet if I could remember it, Cassius. Will you sup with me tonight, Casca, Casca? No, I am promised forth, Cassius. Will you dine with me tomorrow, Casca? Aye, if I be alive and your mind hold and your dinner worth the eating, Cassius. Good, I will expect you, Casca, do so, farewell both. Exit Casca. Brutus. What a blunt fellow is this grown to be. He was quick metal when he went to school, Cassius. So is he now in execution of any bold or noble enterprise, however he puts on this tardy form. This rudeness is a sauce to his good wit, which gives men stomach to digest his words, with better appetite, Brutus, and so it is. For this time I will leave you tomorrow, if you please to speak with me. I will come home to you, or if you will, come home to me, and I will wait for you, Cassius. I will do so. Till then, think of the world. Exit, Brutus. Well, Brutus, thou art noble, yet I see thy honorable metal may be wrought, from that it is despised. Therefore tease meat, that noble minds keep ever with their likes, for who so firm that cannot be seduct? Caesar doth bear me hard, but he loves Brutus. If I were Brutus now, and he were Cassius, he should not humor me. I will this night, in several hands, in at his windows throw, as if they came from several citizens, writings all tending to the great opinion that Rome holds of his name, wherein obscurely Caesar's ambition shall be glanced at. And after this, let Caesar seat him sure, for we will shake him or worse days endure. Exit. Scene II, the same. A street, thunder and lightning. Enter, from opposite sides, Casca with his sword drawn, and Cicero, Cicero. Good even, Casca, brought you Caesar home? Why are you breathless, and why stare you so, Casca? Are not you moved when all the sway of earth shakes like a thing unfirm? O Cicero, I have seen tempests when the scolding winds have rived the knotty oaks, and I have seen ambitious oceans swell and rage and foam, to be exalted with the threatening clouds. But never till tonight, never till now, did I go through a tempest dropping fire. Either there is a civil strife in heaven, or else the world too saucy with the gods incenses them to send destruction, Cicero. Why, saw you anything more wonderful, Casca? A common slave, you know him well by sight, held up his left hand, which did flame and burn, like 20 torches joined, and yet his hand, not sensible of fire, remained unscorched. Besides, I ha not since put up my sword. Against the capital I met a lion, who glared upon me and went surly by, without annoying me. And there were drawn, upon a heap, 100 ghastly women, transformed with their fear, who swore they saw men all in fire walk up and down the streets. And yesterday the bird of night did sit, even at noonday upon the marketplace, hooting and shrieking. When these prodigies do so conjointly meet, let not men say. These are their reasons, they are natural, for I believe they are portentous things unto the climate that they point upon Sisera. Indeed, it is a strange disposed time, but men may construe things after their fashion, clean from the purpose of the things themselves. Comes Caesar to the capital tomorrow, Casca, he doth, for he did bid Antonius send word to you he would be there tomorrow, Sisera. Good night then, Casca, this disturbed sky is not to walk in, Casca, farewell, Cicero. Exit Sisera. Enter Cassius. Cassius. Who's there, Casca? A Roman, Cassius. Casca, by your voice, Casca, your ear is good. Cassius, what night is this, Cassius? A very pleasing night to honest men, Casca, who ever knew the heaven's menace so, Cassius? Those that have known the earth so full of faults. For my part, I have walked about the streets, submitting me unto the perilous night, and thus unbraced, Casca, as you see, have barred my bosom to the thunderstone, and when the cross blue lightning seemed to open the breast of heaven, I did present myself, even in the aim and very flash of it, Casca. But wherefore did you so much tempt the heavens? It is the part of men to fear and tremble, when the most mighty gods by tokens send such dreadful heralds to astonish us. Cassius, you are dull, Casca, and those sparks of life, that should be in a Roman you do want, or else you use not. You look pale and gaze and put on fear and cast yourself in wonder to see the strange impatience of the heavens, but if you would consider the true cause. Why all these fires, why all these gliding ghosts? Why birds and beasts from quality and kind? Why old men, fools, and children calculate? Why all these things change from their ordinance, their natures and preformed faculties, to monstrous quality? Why, you shall find that heaven hath infused them with these spirits, to make them instruments of fear and warning unto some monstrous state. Now could I, Casca, name to thee a man most like this dreadful night, that thunders, lightens, opens graves, and roars, as doth the lion in the capital, a man no mightier than thyself or me, in personal action, yet prodigious grown, and fearful as these strange eruptions are, Casca. Tis Caesar that you mean, is it not, Cassius? Cassius, let it be who it is, for Romans now have thews and limbs like to their ancestors, but woe the while our fathers' minds are dead, and we are governed with our mothers' spirits, our yoke and sufferance show us womanish, Casca. Indeed, they say the senators tomorrow mean to establish Caesar as a king, and he shall wear his crown by sea and land, in every place save here in Italy, Cassius. I know where I will wear this dagger then, Cassius, from bondage will deliver Cassius. Therein, ye gods, you make the weak most strong. Therein, ye gods, you tyrants do defeat, nor stony tower, nor walls of beaten brass, nor airless dungeon, nor strong links of iron, can be retentive to the strength of spirit. But life, being weary of these worldly bars, never lacks power to dismiss itself. If I know this, know all the world besides. That part of tyranny that I do bear, I can shake off at pleasure. Thunder still. Casca, so can I, so every bondman in his own hand bears the power to cancel his captivity, Cassius. And why should Caesar be a tyrant then, poor man? I know he would not be a wolf, but that he sees the Romans are but sheep. He were no lion, were not Romans hinds, those that with haste will make a mighty fire, begin it with weak straws. What trash is Rome? What rubbish and what offal when it serves for the base matter to illuminate so vile a thing as Caesar? But, O grief, where hast thou led me? I perhaps speak this before a willing bondman, then I know my answer must be made, but I am armed, and dangers are to me indifferent. Casca, you speak to Casca and to such a man, that is no fleering telltale. Hold my hand, be factious for redress of all these griefs, and I will set this foot of mine as far as who goes farthest. Cassius, there's a bargain made. Now know you, Casca, I have mauved already some certain of the noblest-minded Romans to undergo with me an enterprise of honorable dangerous consequence, and I do know by this they stay for me in Pompey's porch. For now, this fearful night, there is no stir or walking in the streets, and the complexion of the element in favors like the work we have in hand, most bloody, fiery, and most terrible, enter Cinna. Casca, stand close a while, for here comes one in haste, Cassius. T. Cinna, I do know him by his gait, he is a friend. Cinna, where haste you so, Cinna, to find out you? Who's that? Metella Simber, Cassius. No, it is Casca, one incorporate to our attempts. Am I not stayed for Cinna? Cinna, I am glad, aunt. What a fearful night is this. There's two or three of us have seen strange sights. Cassius. Am I not stayed for? Tell me, Cinna, yes, you are, O Cassius, if you could, but win the noble Brutus to our party. Cassius, be you content. Good Cinna, take this paper, and look you lay it in the praetor's chair, where Brutus may but find it, and throw this, in at his window, set this up with wax, pon old Brutus' statue, all this done, repair to Pompey's porch, where you shall find us. Is Decius, Brutus, and Trebonius there, Cinna? All but Metellus Cimber, and he's gone, to seek you at your house. Well, I will hie, and so bestow these papers as you bade me, Cassius. That done, repair to Pompey's theater, exit Cinna. Come, Casca, you and I will yet, ere day, see Brutus at his house. Three parts of him is ours already, and the man entire. Upon the next encounter, yields him ours, Casca. Oh, he sits high in all the people's hearts, and that which would appear offense in us, his countenance, like richest alchemy, will change to virtue and to worthiness, Cassius. Him and his worth and our great need of him, you have right well conceded. Let us go, for it is after midnight, and ere day, we will awake him and be sure of him. Exeunt. ACTII, scene I roam. Brutus, orchard, enter, Brutus. Brutus, what Lucius ho, I cannot, by the progress of the stars, give guess how near today. Lucius, I say, I would it were my fault to sleep so soundly. When Lucius, when? Awake, I say, what Lucius, enter, Lucius. Lucius called you, my lord, Brutus. Get me a taper in my study, Lucius. When it is lighted, come and call me here, Lucius. I will, my lord. Exit. Brutus, it must be by his death, and for my part. I know no personal cause to spurn at him, but for the general. He would be crowned, how that might change his nature, there's the question. It is the bright day that brings forth the adder, and that craves wary walking. Crown him, that and then I grant we put a sting in him, that at his will he may do danger with th abuse of greatness is when it disjoins, remorse from power, and to speak truth of Caesar, I have not known when his affection swayed, more than his reason. But he's a common proof. That lowliness is young ambition's ladder. Where do the climber upward turns his face, but when he once attains the utmost round, he then unto the ladder turns his back, looks in the clouds, scorning the base degrees by which he did ascend. So Caesar may, then lest he may, prevent, and since the quarrel will bear no color for the thing he is, fashion it thus, that what he is, augmented, would run to these and these extremities, and therefore think him as a serpent's egg, which hatched would as his kind grow mischievous and kill him in the shell. Enter Lucius. Lucius, the taper burneth in your closet, sir. Searching the window for a flint, I found this paper thus sealed up, and I am sure it did not lie there when I went to bed. Gives him the letter. Brutus, get you to bed again. It is not day. Is not tomorrow, boy, the Ides of March, Lucius? I know not, sir. Brutus, look in the calendar and bring me word. Lucius, I will, sir. Exit. Brutus. The exhalations, whizzing in the air, give so much light that I may read by them. Opens the letter and reads. Brutus, thou sleepsty, awake and see thyself, shall roam and see speak, strike, redress. Brutus, thou sleepsty, awake. Such instigations have been often dropped where I have took them up. Shall roam and see, thus must I piece it out. Shall Rome stand under one man's awe? What Rome my ancestors did from the streets of Rome, the Tarquin drive when he was called a king? Speak, strike, redress. Am I entreated to speak and strike? O Rome, I make thee promise, if the redress will follow, thou receivest thy full petition at the hand of Brutus. Enter Lucius. Lucius, sir, March is wasted 15 days. Knock within. Brutus. Tease good. Go to the gate, somebody knocks. Exit Lucius. Since Cassius first did wet me against Caesar, I have not slept, between the acting of a dreadful thing and the first motion, all the interim is. Like a phantasma or a hideous dream, the genius and the mortal instruments are then in council. And the state of man, like to a little kingdom, suffers then, the nature of an insurrection. Enter Lucius. Lucius, sir, tease your brother Cassius at the door. Who doth desire to see you? Brutus, is he alone, Lucius? No, sir, there are moe with him, Brutus. Do you know them, Lucius? No, sir, their hats are plucked about their ears, and half their faces buried in their cloaks, that by no means I may discover them. By any mark of favor, Brutus, let him enter. Exit, Lucius. They are the faction, O conspiracy. Shamst thou to show thy dangerous brow by night when evils are most free? O then, by day, where wilt thou find a cavern dark enough to mask thy monstrous visage? Seek none, conspiracy, hide it in smiles and affability, for if thou path thy native semblance on, not Erebus itself were dim enough to hide thee from prevention. Enter Cassius, Casca, Decius, Cinna, Metellus, Cimber, and Trebonius. Cassius. I think we are too bold upon your rest, good morrow, Brutus. Do we trouble you, Brutus? I have been up this hour, awake all night. Know I these men that come along with you, Cassius? Yes, every man of them, and no man here, but honors you, and everyone doth wish you had but that opinion of yourself, which every noble Roman bears of you, this is Trebonius, Brutus, he is welcome hither, Cassius, this Decius, Brutus, Brutus, he is welcome too, Cassius, this Casca, this Cinna, and this Metellus Cimber, Brutus. They are all welcome. What watchful cares do interpose themselves betwixt your eyes and night, Cassius? Shall I entreat a word? They whisper. Decius, here lies the east. Doth not the day break here, Casca? No, Cinna, oh, pardon, sir, it doth, and yon gray lines that fret the clouds are messengers of day. Casca, you shall confess that you are both deceived. Here, as I point my sword, the sun arises, which is a great way growing on the south, weighing the youthful season of the year, some 2 months hence, up higher toward the north. He first presents his fire, and the high east stands as the capital directly here, Brutus. Give me your hands all over, one by one, Cassius, and let us swear our resolution, Brutus. No, not an oath. If not the face of men, the sufferance of our souls, the time's abuse. If these be motives weak, break off betimes, and every man hence to his idle bed, so let high-sighted tyranny range on, till each man drop by lottery. But if these, as I am sure they do, bear fire enough to kindle cowards and to steel with valor, the melting spirits of women, then, countrymen, what need we any spur but our own cause to prick us to redress? What other bond than secret Romans that have spoke the word and will not palter? And what other oath than honesty to honesty and gagged, that this shall be or we will fall for it, swear priests and cowards and men caudalous, old feeble carrions and such suffering souls, that welcome wrongs, unto bad causes swear. Such creatures as men doubt, but do not stain, the even virtue of our enterprise, nor th insuppressive metal of our spirits, to think that or our cause or our performance did need an oath when every drop of blood that every Roman bears and nobly bears is guilty of a several bastardy, if he do break the smallest particle of any promise that hath passed from him, Cassius. But what of Cicero? Shall we sound him? I think he will stand very strong with us. Casca, let us not leave him out. Cinna, no, by no means, Metellus. Oh, let us have him, for his silver hairs will purchase us a good opinion, and by men's voices to commend our deeds. It shall be said, his judgment rolled our hands, our youths and wildness shall no wit appear. But all be buried in his gravity, Brutus. Oh, name him not. Let us not break with him, for he will never follow anything that other men begin, Cassius. Then leave him out, Casca. Indeed, he is not fit, Decius. Shall no man else be touched but only Caesar, Cassius, Decius, well erged. I think it is not meet. Mark Antony, so well beloved of Caesar, should outlive Caesar, we shall find of him. A shrewd contriver, and you know his means, if he improve them, may well stretch so far as to annoy us all, which to prevent, let Antony and Caesar fall together. Brutus, our course will seem too bloody, Caius Cassius, to cut the head off and then hack the limbs. Like wrath and death and envy afterwards, for Antony is but a limb of Caesar. Let us be sacrificers, but not butchers, Caius. We all stand up against the spirit of Caesar, and in the spirit of men there is no blood. Oh, that we then could come by Caesar's spirit, and not dismember Caesar. But alas, Caesar must bleed for it. And, gentle friends, let's kill him boldly, but not wrathfully. Let's carve him as a dish fit for the gods, not hew him as a carcass fit for hounds. And let our hearts, as subtle masters do, stir up their servants to an act of rage, and after seem to chide them. This shall mark our purpose necessary and not envious, which so appearing to the common eyes, we shall be called perjurers, not murderers. And for Mark Antony, think not of him, for he can do no more than Caesar's arm when Caesar's head is off, Cassius. Yet I fear him, for in the engrafted love he bears to Caesar. Brutus. Alas, good Cassius, do not think of him. If he loves Caesar, all that he can do is to himself. Take thought and die for Caesar. And that were much he should, for he is given to sports, to wildness, and much company. Trebonius, there is no fear in him. Let him not die, for he will live and laugh at this hereafter. Clock strikes. Brutus, peace. Count the clock, Cassius. The clock hath stricken three, Trebonius. 'Tis time to part, Cassius, but it is doubtful yet whether Caesar will come forth today or no, for he is superstitious grown of late, quite from the main opinion he held once, of fantasy, of dreams and ceremonies. It may be these apparent prodigies, the unaccustomed terror of this night, and the persuasion of his augurers, may hold him from the capital today, Decius. Never fear that, if he be so resolved, I can o'ersway him, for he loves to hear that unicorns may be betrayed with trees, and bears with glasses, elephants with holes, lions with toils, and men with flatterers. But when I tell him he hates flatterers, he says he does, being then most flattered. Let me work, for I can give his humor the true bent. And I will bring him to the capital, Cassius. Nay, we will all of us be there to fetch him. Brutus, by the eighth hour. Is that the uttermost? Cinna, be that the uttermost, and fail not then, Metellus. Caius Ligarius doth bear Caesar hard, who rated him for speaking well of Pompey, I wonder none of you have thought of him, Brutus. Now, good Metellus, go along by him, he loves me well, and I have given him reason send him but hither, and I'll fashion him, Cassius, the morning comes upon's. We'll leave you, Brutus. And friends, disperse yourselves, but all remember what you have said, and show yourselves true Romans, Brutus. Good gentlemen, look fresh and merrily, let not our looks put on our purposes, but bear it as our Roman actors do, with untired spirits and formal constancy. And so, good morrow to you, everyone. Exeunt all but Brutus. Boy, Lucius, fast asleep. It is no matter, enjoy the honey-heavy dew of slumber. Thou hast no figures nor no fantasies. Which busy care draws in the brains of men, therefore thou sleep'st thee so sound. Enter, Portia. Portia, Brutus, my lord, Brutus, Portia, what mean you? Wherefore rise you now, it is not for your health thus to commit your weak condition to the raw cold morning, Portia, nor for yours neither. Why have ungently, Brutus, stole from my bed, and yesternight at supper, you suddenly arose and walked about, musing and sighing with your arms across, and when I asked you what the matter was, you start upon me with ungentle looks. I urged you further, then you scratched your head, and too impatiently stamped with your foot, yet I insisted, yet you answered not, but with an angry wafture of your hand, gave sign for me to leave you. So I did, fearing to strengthen that impatience, which seemed too much enkindled, and withal, hoping it was but an effect of humor, which sometime hath his hour with every man, it will not let you eat, nor talk, nor sleep, and could it work so much upon your shape. As it hath much prevailed on your condition, I should not know you, Brutus. Dear my lord, make me acquainted with your cause of grief, Brutus. I am not well in health, and that is all, Portia. Brutus is wise, and were he not in health, he would embrace the means to come by it, Brutus. Why so I do? Good Portia, go to bed. Portia, is Brutus sick, and is it physical to walk unbraced and suck up the humors of the dank morning? What, is Brutus sick, and will he steal out of his wholesome bed to dare the vile contagion of the night, and tempt the roomy and unpurged air to add unto his sickness? No, my Brutus, you have some sick offense within your mind, which, by the right and virtue of my place, I ought to know of, and upon my knees, I charm you by my once commended beauty, by all your vows of love and that great vow, which did incorporate and make us one, that you unfold to me yourself your half, why you are heavy and what men tonight have had resort to you, for here have been some six or seven who did hide their faces, even from darkness. Brutus, kneel not, gentle Portia, Portia, I should not need if you were gentle Brutus, within the bond of marriage, tell me, Brutus, is it accepted I should know no secrets that appertain to you, am I yourself, but as it were in sort or limitation, to keep with you at meals, comfort your bed, and talk to you sometimes. Dwell I but in the suburbs of your good pleasure? If it be no more, Portia is Brutus, harlot, not his wife, Brutus. You are my true and honorable wife, as dear to me as are the ruddy drops that visit my sad heart, Portia. If this were true, then should I know this secret. I grant I am a woman, but withal, a woman that Lord Brutus took to wife, I grant I am a woman, but withal, a woman well reputed, Cato's daughter. Think you I am no stronger than my sex, being so fathered and so husbanded? Tell me your counsels, I will not disclose them. I have made strong proof of my constancy, giving myself a voluntary wound, here in the thigh. Can I bear that with patience, and not my husband's secrets? Brutus, O ye gods, render me worthy of this noble wife. Knock, hark, hark, one knocks. Portia, go in a while, and by thy bosom shall partake the secrets of my heart. All my engagements I will construe to thee, all the charactery of my sad brows, leave me with haste. Exit, Portia. Enter Lucius with Ligarius. Lucius, who's that knocks? Lucius, here is a sick man that would speak with you. Brutus, Caius Ligarius, that Metellus spake of, boy, stand aside. Caius Ligarius, how, Ligarius? Vouchsafe good morrow from a feeble tongue, Brutus. Oh, what a time have you chose out, brave Caius, to wear a kerchief? Would you were not sick, Ligarius? I am not sick, if Brutus have in hand any exploit worthy the name of honor, Brutus. Such an exploit have I in hand, Ligarius, had you a healthful ear to hear of it, Ligarius. By all the gods that Romans bow before, I here discard my sickness. Soul of Rome. Brave son, derived from honorable loins, thou like an exorcist hast conjured up my mortified spirit. Now bid me run, and I will strive with things impossible, yea, get the better of them. What's to do, Brutus? A piece of work that will make sick men whole, Ligarius. But are not some whole that we must make sick, Brutus? That must we also. What it is, my Caius, I shall unfold to thee as we are going, to whom it must be done, Ligarius, set on your foot, and with a heart new furred I follow you. To do I know not what, but it sufficeth, that Brutus leads me on. Thunder. Brutus, follow me then, exeunt. Scene II, a room in Caesar's palace, thunder and lightning, Enter Caesar. In his nightgown Caesar, nor heaven nor earth have been at peace tonight. Thrice hath Calphurnia in her sleep cried out. Help, ho, they murder Caesar. Who's within? Enter a servant. Servant, my lord Caesar. Go bid the priests do present sacrifice, and bring me their opinions of success. Servant, I will, my lord. Exit. Enter Calphurnia. Calphurnia, what mean you, Caesar? Think you to walk forth? You shall not stir out of your house today. Caesar, Caesar shall forth. The things that threatened me, ne'er looked but on my back. When they shall see the face of Caesar, they are vanished. Calphurnia, Caesar, I never stood on ceremonies, yet now they fright me. There is one within. Besides the things that we have heard and seen, recounts most horrid sights seen by the watch. A lioness hath whelped in the streets, and graves have yawned and yielded up their dead. Fierce fiery warriors fight upon the clouds, in ranks and squadrons and right form of war, which drizzled blood upon the capital. The noise of battle hurtled in the air. Horses did neigh, and dying men did groan, and ghosts did shriek and squeal about the streets. O Caesar, these things are beyond all use, and I do fear them, Caesar. What can be avoided? Whose end is purposed by the mighty gods, yet Caesar shall go forth. For these predictions are to the world in general as to Caesar. Calphurnia, when beggars die, there are no comets seen. The heavens themselves blaze forth the death of princes. Caesar, cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come. Enter. Servant, what say the augurers? Servant, they would not have you to stir forth today. Plucking the entrails of an offering forth, they could not find a heart within the beast. Caesar, the gods do this in shame of cowardice. Caesar should be a beast without a heart, if he should stay at home today for fear. No, Caesar shall not. Danger knows full well that Caesar is more dangerous than he. We are two lions littered in one day, and I the elder and more terrible, and Caesar shall go forth. Calphurnia, alas, my lord. Your wisdom is consumed in confidence. Do not go forth today, call it my fear. That keeps you in the house and not your own. We'll send Mark Antony to the Senate House, and he shall say you are not well today. Let me upon my knee prevail in this. Caesar, Mark Antony shall say I am not well, and for thy humor I will stay at home. Enter Decius. Here's Decius Brutus, he shall tell them so. Decius. Caesar, all hail. Good morrow, worthy Caesar. I come to fetch you to the Senate House. Caesar. And you are come in very happy time, to bear my greeting to the senators, and tell them that I will not come today. Cannot is false, and that I dare not falser, I will not come today. Tell them so, Decius. Calphurnia, say he is sick. Caesar. Shall Caesar send a lie? Have I in conquest stretched mine arm so far? To be afeard to tell graybeards the truth, Decius? Go tell them Caesar will not come, Decius. Most mighty Caesar, let me know some cause, lest I be laughed at when I tell them so, Caesar. The cause is in my will, I will not come. That is enough to satisfy the Senate, but for your private satisfaction. Because I love you, I will let you know. Calphurnia here, my wife, stays me at home. She dreamt tonight she saw my statue, which like a fountain with 100 spouts, did run pure blood, and many lusty Romans came smiling and did bathe their hands in it. And these does she apply for warnings and portents, and evils imminent, and on her knee hath begged that I will stay at home today. Decius. This dream is all amiss interpreted. It was a vision fair and fortunate. Your statue spouting blood in many pipes, in which so many smiling Romans bathed, signifies that from you great Rome shall suck reviving blood, and that great men shall press for tinctures, stains, relics, and cognizance. This by Calphurnia's dream is signified, Caesar, and this way have you well expounded it, Decius. I have, when you have heard what I can say, and know it now. The Senate have concluded to give this day a crown to mighty Caesar. If you shall send them word you will not come, their minds may change. Besides, it were a mock, apt to be rendered for someone to say, break up the Senate till another time, when Caesar's wife shall meet with better dreams. If Caesar hide himself, shall they not whisper? Lo, Caesar is afraid. Pardon me, Caesar, for my dear, dear love, to your proceeding bids me tell you this, and reason to my love is liable, Caesar. How foolish do your fears seem now, Calphurnia? I am ashamed I did yield to them. Give me my robe, for I will go. Enter Brutus, Ligarius, Metellus, Casca, Trebonius, Cinna, and Publius, and look where Publius is come to fetch me. Publius, good morrow, Caesar. Caesar, welcome. Publius, what, Brutus, are you stirred so early to? Good morrow, Casca. Caius Ligarius, Caesar was ne'er so much your enemy as that same ague which hath made you lean. What is't o'clock, Brutus? Caesar, tease struck an eight. Caesar, I thank you for your pains and courtesy. Enter Antony. See. Antony, that revels long o' nights, is not withstanding up. Good morrow, Antony. Antony, so to most noble Caesar. Caesar, bid them prepare within. I am to blame to be thus waited for now, Cinna, now Metellus. What, Trebonius, I have an hour's talk in store for you. Remember that you call on me today, be near me that I may remember you, Trebonius. Caesar, I will. Aside, and so near will I be, that your best friends shall wish I had been further, Caesar. Good friends, go in and taste some wine with me, and we, like friends, will straightway go together, Brutus. Aside, that every like is not the same, O Caesar, the heart of Brutus yearns to think upon, exeunt, scene III. A street near the capital, enter Artemidorus, reading a paper, Artemidorus. Caesar, beware of Brutus, take heed of Cassius, come not near Casca, have an eye to Cinna, trust not Trebonius, mark well Metellus Cimber, Decius Brutus. Loves thee not, thou hast wronged Caius Ligarius. There's but one mind in all, these men, and it is bent against Caesar. If thou beest he not immortal, look, about you, security gives way to conspiracy. The mighty gods defend thee, thy lover Artemidorus. Here will I stand till Caesar pass along, and as a suitor will I give him this. My heart laments that virtue cannot live out of the teeth of emulation. If thou read this, O, Caesar, thou mayest live, if not, the fates with traitors do contrive. Exit, scene IV. Another part of the same street, before the house of Brutus, enter Portia and Lucius. Portia, I Pyrrhithi, boy, run to the senate house, stay not to answer me, but get thee gone. Why dost thou stay, Lucius? To know my errand, madam, Portia, I would have had thee there and here again, ere I can tell thee what thou shouldst do there. Aside. O Constancy, be strong upon my side, set a huge mountain tween my heart and tongue, I have a man's mind, but a woman's might. How hard it is for women to keep counsel, art thou here yet, Lucius? Madam, what should I do, run to the capital and nothing else, and so return to you and nothing else, Portia? Yes, bring me word, boy, if thy lord look well, for he went sickly forth, and take good note. What Caesar doth, what suitors press to him. Hark, boy, what noise is that, Lucius? I hear none, madam, Portia. Pyrrhithi, listen well. I heard a bustling rumor, like a fray, and the wind brings it from the capital, Lucius. Sooth, madam, I hear nothing. Enter the soothsayer. Portia. Come hither, fellow, which way hast thou been, soothsayer? At mine own house, good lady Portia, what is't o'clock, soothsayer? About the ninth hour, lady Portia, is Caesar yet gone to the capital, soothsayer? Madam, not yet. I go to take my stand, to see him pass on to the capital, Portia. Thou hast some suit to Caesar, hast thou not, soothsayer? That I have, lady, if it will please Caesar, to be so good to Caesar as to hear me. I shall beseech him to befriend himself. Portia. Why, knowest he thou any harms intended towards him, soothsayer? None that I know will be, much that I fear may chance. Good morrow to you. Here the street is narrow, the throng that follows Caesar at the heels, of senators, of praetors, common suitors, will crowd a feeble man almost to death. I'll get me to a place more void, and there. Speak to great Caesar as he comes along. Exit. Portia, I must go in. Aside. Ay me, how weak a thing the heart of woman is. O Brutus, the heavens speed thee in thine enterprise. Sure, the boy heard me. Brutus hath a suit that Caesar will not grant. Oh, I grow faint. Run, Lucius, and commend me to my lord, say I am merry. Come to me again, and bring me word what he doth say to thee. Exeunt. Act III, scene I roam. Before the capital, the senate sitting, a crowd of people in the street leading to the capital. Flourish. Enter Caesar, Brutus, Cassius, Casca, Decius, Metellus, Trebonius, Cinna, Antony, Lepidus, Artemidorus, Publius, Papilius, and the soothsayer. Caesar, the Ides of March are come, soothsayer. I, Caesar, but not gone, Artemidorus, hail, Caesar, read this schedule, Decius. Trebonius doth desire you to o'erread. At your best leisure, this his humble suit, Artemidorus. O Caesar, read mine first, for mine's a suit that touches Caesar nearer. Read it, great Caesar, Caesar, what touches us ourselves shall be last served, Artemidorus, delay not, Caesar. Read it instantly, Caesar. What is the fellow mad, Publius, Sura, give place, Cassius? What urge your petitions in the street, come to the capital, Caesar. Enters the capital, the rest following, all the senators rise, Papilius. I wish your enterprise today may thrive, Cassius. What enterprise, Papilius, Papilius, fare you well. Advances to Caesar. Brutus, what said Papilius Lena, Cassius, he wished today our enterprise might thrive. I fear our purpose is discovered, Brutus, look how he makes to Caesar, mark him, Cassius, Casca be sudden, for we fear prevention. Brutus, what shall be done? If this be known, Cassius or Caesar never shall turn back, for I will slay myself, Brutus. Cassius, be constant. Papilius Lena speaks not of our purposes, for look, he smiles, and Caesar doth not change. Cassius. Trebonius knows his time, for look you, Brutus. He draws Mark Antony out of the way. Exeunt Antony and Trebonius. Caesar and the senators take their seats. Decius, where is Metellus Cimber? let him go, and presently prefer his suit to Caesar. Brutus, he is addressed, press near and second him. Cinna, Casca, you are the first that rears your hand. Caesar, are we all ready? What is now amiss? That Caesar and his Senate must redress, Metellus, most high, most mighty, and most puissant Caesar. Metellus Cimber throws before thy seat, an humble heart, kneeling. Caesar, I must prevent thee, Cimber, these couchings and these lowly courtesies. Might fire the blood of ordinary men and turn preordinance and first decree into the law of children. Be not fond to think that Caesar bears such rebel blood, that will be thawed from the true quality, with that which melteth fools, I mean sweet words, low crooked curtsies, and base spaniel fawning. Thy brother by decree is banished, if thou dost bend and pray and fawn for him. I spurn thee like a cur out of my way, no, Caesar does not wrong, nor without cause, will he be satisfied. Metellus, is there no voice more worthy than my own, to sound more sweetly in great Caesar's ear, for the repealing of my banished brother, Brutus. I kiss thy hand, but not in flattery, Caesar, desiring thee that Publius Cimber may have an immediate freedom of repeal, Caesar. What, Brutus, Cassius? Pardon, Caesar. Caesar, pardon, as low as to thy foot doth Cassius fall, to beg enfranchisement for Publius Cimber, Caesar. I could be well mobbed if I were as you, if I could pray to move, prayers would move me, but I am constant as the northern star, of whose true fixed and resting quality, there is no fellow in the firmament. The skies are painted with unnumbered sparks, they are all fire, and every one doth shine, but there's but one in all doth hold his place, so in the world. Tis furnished well with men. And men are flesh and blood, and apprehensive, yet in the number I do know but one. That unassailable holds on his rank, unshacked of motion, and that I am he, let me a little show it, even in this, that I was constant Cimber should be banished, and constant do remain to keep him so, Cinna, O Caesar, Caesar hence. Wilt thou lift up Olympus Decius, great Caesar, Caesar, doth not Brutus bootless kneel, Casca speak, hands for me? Casca stabs, Caesar, in the neck, Caesar. Catches hold of his arm. He is then stabbed by several other conspirators and at last by Marcus, Brutus, Caesar, et tu, Brute, then fall, Caesar, dies, the senators and people retire in confusion. Cinna, liberty, freedom, tyranny is dead, run hence, proclaim, cry it about the streets, Cassius, some to the common pulpits and cry out, liberty, freedom, and enfranchisement. Brutus, people and senators, be not affrighted, fly not, stand still, ambition's debt is paid, Casca. Go to the pulpit, Brutus, Decius, and Cassius too, Brutus, where? Publius, Cinna here, quite confounded with this mutiny, Metellus, stand fast together, lest some friend of Caesar should chance. Brutus, talk not of standing. Publius, good cheer, there is no harm intended to your person, nor to no Roman else. So tell them, Publius, Cassius, and leave us, Publius, lest that the people rushing on us should do your age some mischief. Brutus, do so, and let no man abide this deed. But we the doers, enter. Trebonius, Cassius, where? Antony Trebonius, fled to his house amazed, men, wives, and children stare, cry out and run, as it were doomsday, Brutus, fates, we will know your pleasures, that we shall die, we know, tease but the time, and drawing days out that men stand upon, Casca, why, he that cuts off 20 years of life, cuts off so many years of fearing death, Brutus, grant that, and then is death a benefit, so are we Caesar's friends that have abridged his time of fearing death. Stoop, Romans, stoop. And let us bathe our hands in Caesar's blood, up to the elbows, and besmear our swords, then walk we forth even to the marketplace, and waving our red weapons o'er our heads, let's all cry, peace, freedom, and liberty. Cassius, stoop then and wash. How many ages hence shall this our lofty scene be acted over? In states unborn and accents yet unknown, Brutus, how many times shall Caesar bleed in sport, that now on Pompey's basis lies along, no worthier than the dust, Cassius? So oft as that shall be, so often shall the knot of us be called, the men that gave their country liberty, Decius. What shall we forth, Cassius? Aye, every man away, Brutus shall lead, and we will grace his heels with the most boldest and best hearts of Rome. Enter a servant. Brutus, soft, who comes here? A friend of Antony, servant. Thus, Brutus, did my master bid me kneel, thus did Mark Antony bid me fall down, and, being prostrate, thus he bade me say, Brutus is noble, wise, valiant, and honest. Caesar was mighty, bold, royal, and loving. Say, I love Brutus and I honor him. Say, I feared Caesar, honored him, and loved him. If Brutus will vouchsafe that Antony may safely come to him and be resolved, how Caesar hath deserved to lie in death. Mark Antony shall not love Caesar dead, so well as Brutus living, but will follow. The fortunes and affairs of noble Brutus, thorough the hazards of this untrod state, with all true faith. So says my master Antony Brutus, Thy master is a wise and valiant Roman, I never thought him worse. Tell him, so please him come unto this place. He shall be satisfied, and by my honor, depart untouched. Servant, I'll fetch him presently. Exit. Brutus. I know that we shall have him well to friend Cassius. I wish we may, but yet have I a mind that fears him much, and my misgiving still. Falls shrewdly to the purpose. Enter Antony. Brutus. But here comes Antony. Welcome, Mark Antony. Antony, O mighty Caesar, dost thou lie so low? Are all thy conquests, glories, triumphs, spoils, shrunk to this little measure? Fare thee well, I know not, gentlemen, what you intend. Who else must be let blood, who else's rank? If I myself, there is no hour so fit as Caesar's death's hour, nor no instrument of half that worth as those your swords made rich with the most noble blood of all this world. I do beseech ye, if you bear me hard, now, whilst your purpled hands do reek and smoke, fulfill your pleasure. Live 1,000 years, I shall not find myself so apt to die. No place will please me so, no means of death, as here by Caesar and by you cut off. The choice and master spirits of this age, Brutus, O Antony, beg not your death of us, though now we must appear bloody and cruel, as by our hands and this our present act, you see we do, yet see you but our hands, and this the bleeding business they have done. Our hearts you see not, they are pitiful and pity to the general wrong of Rome. As fire drives out fire, so pity hath done this deed on Caesar. For your part, to you our swords have leaden points, Mark Antony, our arms in strength of malice, and our hearts of brother's temper do receive you in, with all kind love, good thoughts, and reverence. Cassius, your voice shall be as strong as any man. In the disposing of new dignities, Brutus, only be patient till we have appeased the multitude beside themselves with fear, and then we will deliver you the cause. Why I that did love Caesar when I struck him, have thus proceeded. Antony, I doubt not of your wisdom. Let each man render me his bloody hand. First, Marcus Brutus, will I shake with you, next, Caius Cassius, do I take your hand. Now, Decius Brutus, yours, now yours, Metellus, yours, Cinna, and my valiant Casca, yours, though last, not least in love, yours, good Trebonius. Gentlemen, all, alas, what shall I say? My credit now stands on such slippery ground, that one of two bad ways you must conceit me, either a coward or a flatterer. That I did love thee, Caesar, oh, 'tis true, if then thy spirit look upon us now, shall it not grieve thee dearer than thy death, to see thy Antony making his peace, shaking the bloody fingers of thy foes, most noble in the presence of thy course, had I as many eyes as thou hast wounds, weeping as fast as they stream forth thy blood, it would become me better than to close in terms of friendship with thine enemies. Pardon me, Julius. Here wast thou bade, brave heart, here didst thou fall, and here thy hunters stand, signed in thy spoil and crimsoned in thy lethe. O world, thou wast the forest to this heart, and this indeed, O world, the heart of thee. How like a deer strucken by many princes, dost thou here lie, Cassius, Mark Antony. Antony, pardon me, Caius Cassius. The enemies of Caesar shall say this, then, in a friend, it is cold modesty, Cassius. I blame you not for praising Caesar so, but what compact mean you to have with us? Will you be pricked in number of our friends, or shall we on and not depend on you, Antony? Therefore I took your hands, but was indeed swayed from the point by looking down on Caesar. Friends am I with you all, and love you all, upon this hope that you shall give me reasons why and wherein Caesar was dangerous, Brutus, or else were this a savage spectacle. Our reasons are so full of good regard. That were you, Antony, the son of Caesar, you should be satisfied. Antony, that's all I seek, and am moreover suitor that I may produce his body to the marketplace and in the pulpit as becomes a friend, speak in the order of his funeral, Brutus. You shall, Mark Antony, Cassius, Brutus, a word with you, aside to Brutus. You know not what you do. Do not consent that Antony speak in his funeral. Know you how much the people may be moved by that which he will utter, Brutus, aside to Cassius. I your pardon, I will myself into the pulpit first, and show the reason of our Caesar's death. What Antony shall speak, I will protest. He speaks by leave and by permission, and that we are contented Caesar shall have all true rites and lawful ceremonies. It shall advantage more than do us wrong, Cassius, aside to Brutus. I know not what may fall, I like it not, Brutus. Mark Antony, here, take you Caesar's body. You shall not in your funeral speech blame us, but speak all good you can devise of Caesar. And say you dot by our permission, else shall you not have any hand at all, about his funeral. And you shall speak, in the same pulpit whereto I am going, after my speech is ended. Antony, be it so, I do desire no more, Brutus, prepare the body then and follow us. Exeunt all but Antony. Antony, oh, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the ruins of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of times. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood, over thy wounds now do I prophesy. Which, like dumb mouths, do ope their ruby lips, to beg the voice and utterance of my tongue? A curse shall light upon the limbs of men, domestic fury and fierce civil strife. Shall cumber all the parts of Italy, blood and destruction shall be so in use, and dreadful objects so familiar, that mothers shall but smile when they behold. Their infants quartered with the hands of war, all pity chalked with custom of fell deeds, and Caesar's spirit, ranging for revenge, with eight by his side come hot from hell, shall in these confines with a monarch's voice cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war, that this foul deed shall smell above the earth with carrion men groaning for burial. Enter a servant. You serve Octavius Caesar, do you not, servant? I do, Mark Antony. Antony, Caesar did write for him to come to Rome, servant. He did receive his letters and is coming, and bid me say to you by word of mouth, seeing the body. O Caesar, Antony, thy heart is big, get thee apart and weep. Passion, I see, is catching, for mine eyes, seeing those beads of sorrow stand in thine, began to water. Is thy master coming, servant? He lies tonight within 7 leagues of Rome, Antony. Post back with speed and tell him what hath chanked. Here is a mourning Rome, a dangerous Rome, no Rome of safety for Octavius yet. Hie hence and tell him so. Yet stay a while, thou shalt not back till I have borne this course into the marketplace. There shall I try, in my oration, how the people take the cruel issue of these bloody men, according to the which thou shalt discourse to young Octavius of the state of things. Lend me your hand. Exeunt with Caesar, body. Scene II, the same, the forum. Enter Brutus, and goes into the pulpit, and Cassius, with a throng of citizens. Citizens, we will be satisfied, let us be satisfied, Brutus. Then follow me, and give me audience, friends. Cassius, go you into the other street, and part the numbers. Those that will hear me speak, let them stay here. Those that will follow Cassius, go with him, and public reasons shall be rendered, of Caesar's death. First citizen, I will hear Brutus speak. Second citizen, I will hear Cassius, and compare their reasons, when severally we hear them rendered. Exit Cassius, with some of the citizens. Brutus goes into the rostrum. Third citizen. The noble Brutus is ascended. Silence, Brutus, be patient till the last. Romans, countrymen, and lovers, hear me for my cause, and be silent that you may hear. Believe me for mine honor, and have respect to mine honor that you may believe. Censure me in your wisdom, and awake your senses that you may the better judge. If there be any in this assembly, any dear friend of Caesar, to him I say that Brutus, love to Caesar was no less than his, if then that friend. Demand why Brutus rose against Caesar, this is my answer. Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more. Had you rather Caesar were living and die all slaves than that Caesar were dead to live all free men? As Caesar loved me, I weep for him. As he was fortunate, I rejoice at it. As he was valiant, I honor him. But as he was ambitious, I slew him. There is tears for his love, joy for his fortune, honor for his valor, and death for his ambition. Who is here so base, that would be a bondman? If any, speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so rude, that would not be a Roman? If any, speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so vile, that will not love his country? If any, speak, for him have I offended. I pause for a reply. Citizens, none. Brutus, none. Brutus, then none have I offended. I have done no more to Caesar than you shall do to Brutus. The question of his death is enrolled in the capital, his glory not extenuated wherein he was worthy, nor his offenses enforked for which he suffered death. Enter Antony and others with Caesar, body. Here comes his body, mourned by Mark Antony, who, though he had no hand in his death, shall receive the benefit of his dying a place in the commonwealth, as which of you shall not? With this I depart, that as I slew my best lover for the good of Rome, I have the same dagger for myself when it shall please my country to need my death. Citizens, live Brutus. Live, live. First citizen, bring him with triumph home unto his house. Second citizen, give him a statue with his ancestors. Third citizen, let him be Caesar. Fourth citizen, Caesar's better parts shall be crowned in Brutus. First citizen, we'll bring him to his house with shouts and clamors. Brutus, my countrymen. Second citizen, peace, silence. Brutus speaks. First citizen, peace, ho, Brutus. Good countrymen, let me depart alone, and for my sake, stay here with Antony. Do grace to Caesar's corpse and grace his speech, tending to Caesar's glories, which Mark Antony, by our permission, is allowed to make. I do entreat you, not a man depart, save I alone, till Antony have spoke. Exit. First citizen, stay, ho, and let us hear Mark Antony. Third citizen, let him go up into the public chair, we'll hear him. Noble Antony, go up. Antony, for Brutus' sake, I am beholding to you, goes up. Fourth citizen, what does he say of Brutus? Third citizen, he says, for Brutus' sake, he finds himself beholding to us all. Fourth citizen, 'twere best he speak no harm of Brutus here. First citizen, This Caesar was a tyrant. Third citizen, nay, that's cert, we are blessed that Rome is rid of him. Second citizen, peace. Let us hear what Antony can say, Antony, you gentle Romans. Citizens, peace ho, let us hear him, Antony, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears, I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones, so let it be with Caesar. The noble Brutus hath told you Caesar was ambitious. If it were so, it was a grievous fault, and grievously hath Caesar answered it, here under leave of Brutus and the rest. For Brutus is an honorable man, so are they all honorable men. Come I to speak in Caesar's funeral. He was my friend, faithful and just to me, but Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. He hath brought many captives home to Rome. Whose ransoms did the general coffers fill? Did this in Caesar seem ambitious? When that the poor have cried, Caesar hath wept. Ambition should be made of sterner stuff. Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. You all did see that on the Lupercal. I thrice presented him a kingly crown, which he did thrice refuse. Was this ambition? Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and sure he is an honorable man. I speak not to disprove what Brutus spoke, but here I am to speak what I do know. You all did love him once, not without cause. What cause withholds you then to mourn for him? O judgment, thou art fled to brutish beasts, and men have lost their reason. Bear with me, my heart is in the coffin there with Caesar, and I must pause till it come back to me. First citizen, methinks there is much reason in his sayings. Second citizen, if thou consider rightly of the matter, Caesar has had great wrong. Third citizen, has he, masters? I fear there will a worse come in his place. Fourth citizen, marked he his words? He would not take the crown, therefore tis certain he was not ambitious. First citizen, if it be found so, some will dear abide it. Second citizen, poor soul, his eyes are red as fire with weeping. Third citizen, there's not a nobler man in Rome than Antony. Fourth citizen, now mark him, he begins again to speak, Antony. But yesterday the word of Caesar might have stood against the world, now lies he there, and none so poor to do him reverence, O masters, if I were disposed to stir. Your hearts and minds to mutiny and rage, I should do Brutus wrong and Cassius wrong, who you all know are honorable men. I will not do them wrong, I rather choose to wrong the dead, to wrong myself and you, than I will wrong such honorable men. But here's a parchment with the seal of Caesar. I found it in his closet. Tease his will, let but the commons hear this testament, which, pardon me, I do not mean to read, and they would go and kiss dead Caesar's wounds, and dip their napkins in his sacred blood, yea, beg a hair of him for memory, and dying, mention it within their wills, bequeathing it as a rich legacy unto their issue. Fourth citizen will hear the will. Read it, Mark Antony, citizens, the will, we will hear Caesar's will. Antony, have patience, gentle friends, I must not read it. It is not meet you know how Caesar loved you, you are not wood, you are not stones, but men, and being men, hearing the will of Caesar, it will inflame you, it will make you mad. Tis good you know not that you are his heirs, for if you should, oh, what would come of it? Fourth citizen, read the will. We'll hear it, Antony, you shall read us the will, Caesar's will, Antony, will you be patient? Will you stay a while? I have o'ershot myself to tell you of it. I fear I wrong the honorable men, whose daggers have stabbed Caesar, I do fear it. Fourth citizen, they were traitors. Honorable men, citizens, the will, the testament. Second citizen, they were villains, murderers, the will, read the will, Antony. You will compel me then to read the will, then make a ring about the corpse of Caesar, and let me show you him that made the will, shall I descend? And will you give me leave, citizens, come down, second citizen, descend, he comes down. Third citizen, you shall have leave, fourth citizen, a ring, stand round, first citizen, stand from the hearse, stand from the body, second citizen, room for Antony, most noble Antony, Antony, nay, press not so upon me, stand far off, citizens, stand back, room, bear back. Antony, if you have tears, prepare to shed them now, you all do know this mantle. I remember, the first time ever Caesar put it on, 'twas on a summer's evening in his tent, that day he overcame the Nervii. Look, in this place ran Cassius, dagger through, see what a rent the envious Casca made, through this the well-beloved Brutus stabbed, and as he plucked his cursed steel away, mark how the blood of Caesar followed it, as rushing out of doors to be resolved. If Brutus so unkindly knocked, or no, for Brutus, as you know, was Caesar's angel. Judge, O you gods, how dearly Caesar loved him. This was the most unkindest cut of all, for when the noble Caesar saw him stab, ingratitude more strong than traitor's arms, quite vanquished him, then burst his mighty heart, and in his mantle muffling up his face, even at the base of Pompey's statue, which all the while ran blood, great Caesar fell. Oh, what a fall was there, my countrymen. Then I and you and all of us fell down, whilst bloody treason flourished over us. Oh, now you weep, and I perceive you feel the dint of pity. These are gracious drops, kind souls, what weep you when you but behold our Caesar's vesture wounded? Look you here, here is himself marred as you see with traitors, first citizen, O piteous spectacle, second citizen, O noble Caesar, third citizen, O woeful day, fourth citizen, O traitors, villains, first citizen, O most bloody sight, second citizen. We will be revenged, citizens, revenge, about seek, burn, fire, kill, slay, let not a traitor live Antony. Stay, countrymen, first citizen, peace there, hear the noble Antony, second citizen, will hear him, will follow him, will die with him, Antony. Good friends, sweet friends, let me not stir you up to such a sudden flood of mutiny. They that have done this deed are honorable. What private griefs they have, alas, I know not, that made them do it. They're wise and honorable, and will, no doubt, with reasons answer you. I come not, friends, to steal away your hearts. I am no orator, as Brutus is, but as you know me all, a plain blunt man, that love my friend, and that they know full well, that gave me public leave to speak of him, for I have neither wit nor words nor worth, action nor utterance nor the power of speech, to stir men's blood. I only speak right on. I tell you that which you yourselves do know, show you sweet Caesar's wounds, poor, poor dumb mouths, and bid them speak for me. But were I Brutus, and Brutus Antony, there were an Antony. Would ruffle up your spirits, and put a tongue, in every wound of Caesar that should move, the stones of Rome to rise and mutiny. Citizens will mutiny, first citizen will burn the house of Brutus, third citizen, away then, come seek the conspirators, Antony. Yet hear me, countrymen, yet hear me speak, citizens, peace, ho, hear Antony, most noble Antony, Antony. Why, friends, you go to do you know not what? Wherein hath Caesar thus deserved your loves? Alas, you know not, I must tell you then. You have forgot the will I told you of, citizens, most true, the will. Let's stay and hear the will, Antony, here is the will, and under Caesar's seal, to every Roman citizen he gives, to every several man, 75 drachmas, second citizen, most noble Caesar, will revenge his death, third citizen. O royal Caesar, Antony, hear me with patience, citizens. Peace, ho, Antony, moreover, he hath left you all his walks, his private arbors, and new-planted orchards. On this side Tiber he hath left them you, and to your heirs forever, common pleasures, to walk abroad and recreate yourselves, here was a Caesar. When comes such another first citizen, never, never. Come away, away, we'll burn his body in the holy place, and with the brands fire the traitors' houses, take up the body, second citizen, go, fetch fire, third citizen, pluck down benches, fourth citizen, pluck down forms, windows, anything, exeunt, citizens, with the body. Antony, now let it work. Mischief, thou art afoot. Take thou what course thou wilt enter a servant. How now, fellow servant, Sir Octavius is already come to Rome. Antony, where is he servant? He and Lepidus are at Caesar's house. Antony, and thither will I straight to visit him. He comes upon a wish. Fortune is merry, and in this mood will give us anything, servant. I heard him say Brutus and Cassius are rid like madmen through the gates of Rome, Antony. Belike they had some notice of the people, how I had moved them. Bring me to Octavius, exeunt. Scene II, the same, a street enter Cinna, the poet, and after him the citizens, Cinna, I dreamt tonight that I did feast with Caesar, and things unluckily charge my fantasy. I have no will to wander forth of doors, yet something leads me forth, first citizen. What is your name, second citizen? Whither are you going, third citizen? Where do you dwell, fourth citizen? Are you a married man or a bachelor, second citizen? Answer every man directly, first citizen. I and briefly, fourth citizen, I and wisely, third citizen, I and truly you were best, Cinna, what is my name? Whither am I going? Where do I dwell? Am I a married man or a bachelor? Then to answer every man directly and briefly, wisely and truly. Wisely I say I am a bachelor, second citizen, that's as much as to say they are fools that marry, you'll bear me a bang for, that I fear. Proceed directly, Cinna, directly I am going to Caesar's funeral, first citizen, as a friend or an enemy, Cinna. As a friend, second citizen, that matter is answered directly. Fourth citizen, for your dwelling, briefly. Cinna, briefly, I dwell by the capital. Third citizen, your name, sir, truly. Cinna, truly, my name is Cinna. First citizen, tear him to pieces. He's a conspirator, Cinna. I am Cinna the poet, I am Cinna the poet. Fourth citizen, tear him for his bad verses, tear him for his bad verses, Cinna. I am not Cinna the conspirator, fourth citizen. It is no matter, his name's Cinna. Pluck but his name out of his heart, and turn him going, third citizen, tear him, tear him. Come, brands, ho, fire brands, to Brutus, to Cassius. Burn all, some to Decius' house, and some to Casca, some to Ligarius. Away, go, exeunt. ACTIV, scene I Rome. A room in Antony's house. Enter Antony, Octavius, and Lepidus, seated at a table. Antony, these many then shall die, their names are pricked. Octavius, your brother too must die, consent you. Lepidus, Lepidus, I do consent. Octavius, prick him down. Antony, Lepidus, upon condition Publius shall not live. Who is your sister's son? Mark Antony, Antony, he shall not live, look, with a spot I damn him. But Lepidus, go you to Caesar's house, fetch the will hither, and we shall determine how to cut off some charge and legacies. Lepidus, what shall I find you here? Octavius, or here or at the capital? Exit Lepidus. Antony, this is a slight unmeritable man, meet to be sent on errands. Is it fit, the threefold world divided, he should stand, one of the three to share it? Octavius, so you thought him, and took his voice who should be pricked to die. In our black sentence and proscription, Antony. Octavius, I have seen more days than you, and though we lay these honors on this man, to ease ourselves of divers slanderous loads, he shall but bear them as the ass bears gold, to groan and sweat under the business, either led or driven as we point the way, and having brought our treasure where we will, then take we down his load and turn him off, like to the empty ass, to shake his ears and graze in commons. Octavius, you may do your will, but he's a tried and valiant soldier. Antony, so is my horse, Octavius, and for that, I do appoint him store of provender. It is a creature that I teach to fight, to wind, to stop, to run directly on, his corporal motion governed by my spirit. And in some taste is Lepidus, but so, he must be taught and trained and bid go forth a barren-spirited fellow, one that feeds on objects, arts, and imitations, which, out of use and styled by other men, begin his fashion. Do not talk of him, but as a property. And now, Octavius, listen great things. Brutus and Cassius are levying powers, we must straight make head. Therefore let our alliance be combined, our best friends made, our means stretched, and let us presently go sit in council, how covert matters may be best disclosed, and open perils surest answered. Octavius, let us do so, for we are at the stake, and bade about with many enemies, and some that smile have in their hearts, I fear, millions of mischiefs. Exeunt. Scene II. Before Brutus, tent in the camp. Near Sardis, drum. Enter Brutus, Lucilius, Titinius, and soldiers. Pindarus meeting them. Lucius at some distance. Brutus, stand. Ho, Lucilius, give the word. Ho, and stand. Brutus, what now, Lucilius? Is Cassius near? Lucilius, he is at hand, and Pindarus is come to do you salutation from his master. Pindarus gives a letter to Brutus. Brutus, he greets me well. Your master, Pindarus, in his own change or by ill officers, hath given me some worthy cause to wish. Things done undone, but if he be at hand, I shall be satisfied. Pindarus, I do not doubt, but that my noble master will appear, such as he is, full of regard and honor. Brutus, he is not doubted. A word, Lucilius, how he received you, let me be resolved. Lucilius, with courtesy and with respect enough, but not with such familiar instances, nor with such free and friendly conference, as he hath us of old. Brutus, thou hast described hot friend cooling. Ever note, Lucilius, when love begins to sicken and decay, it useth an enforced ceremony. There are no tricks in plain and simple faith, but hollow men, like horses hot at hand, make gallant show and promise of their mettle, low march within. But when they should endure the bloody spur, they fall their crests and, like deceitful jades, sink in the trial. Comes his army on, Lucilius. They meant this night in Sardis to be quartered. The greater part, the horse in general, are come with Cassius. Enter Cassius and soldiers. Brutus, hark. He is arrived. March gently on to meet him. Cassius, stand. Ho, Brutus, stand. Ho, speak the word along. First soldier, stand. Second soldier, stand. Third soldier, stand. Cassius, most noble brother, you have done me wrong. Brutus, judge me, you gods, wrong I mine enemies, and if not so, how should I wrong a brother? Cassius, Brutus, this sober form of yours hides wrongs, and when you do them. Brutus, Cassius, be content, speak your grief softly, I do know you well, before the eyes of both our armies here, which should perceive nothing but love from us, let us not wrangle. Bid them move away then in my tent, Cassius, in larger griefs, and I will give you audience. Cassius, Pindarus, bid our commanders lead their charges off a little from this ground. Brutus, Lucilius, do you the like, and let no man come to our tent till we have done our conference. Lucius and Titinius guard our door. Exeunt. Scene II. Within the tent of Brutus, enter Brutus and Cassius. Cassius, that you have wronged me doth appear in this, you have condemned and noted Lucius Pella, for taking bribes here of the Sardians, wherein my letters, praying on his side, because I knew the man, were slighted off. Brutus, you wronged yourself to write in such a case. Cassius, in such a time as this it is not meet, that every nice offense should bear his comment. Brutus, let me tell you, Cassius, you yourself are much condemned to have an itching palm, to sell and mart your offices for gold, to undeservers. Cassius, I an itching palm. You know that you are Brutus that speak this. or by the gods, this speech were else your last. Brutus, the name of Cassius honors this corruption, and chastisement doth therefore hide his head. Cassius, chastisement, Brutus, remember March, the Ides of March remember, did not great Julius bleed for justice' sake? What villain touched his body that did stab, and not for justice? What shall one of us, that struck the foremost man of all this world, but for supporting robbers shall we now contaminate our fingers with base bribes, and sell the mighty space of our large honors? For so much trash as may be grasped thus, I had rather be a dog and bay the moon than such a Roman. Cassius, Brutus, bait not me, I'll not endure it. You forget yourself to hedge me in. I am a soldier, I, older in practice, abler than yourself, to make conditions. Brutus, go to, you are not Cassius. Cassius, I am Brutus, I say you are not Cassius. Urge me no more, I shall forget myself, have mind upon your health, tempt me no farther. Brutus, away, slight man. Cassius, is't possible? Brutus, hear me, for I will speak. Must I give way and room to your rash choler? Shall I be frighted when a madman stares? Cassius, O ye gods, ye gods, must I endure all this? Brutus, all this? I more, fret till your proud heart break, go show your slaves how choleric you are, and make your bondmen tremble. Must I budge, must I observe you? Must I stand and crouch under your testy humor? By the gods, you shall digest the venom of your spleen, though it do split you, for from this day forth, I'll use you for my mirth, yea, for my laughter, when you are waspish. Cassius, is it come to this? Brutus, you say you are a better soldier, let it appear so, make your vaunting true, and it shall please me well. For mine own part, I shall be glad to learn of noble men. Cassius, you wrong me every way, you wrong me, Brutus. I said an elder soldier, not a better, did I say better, Brutus? If you did, I care not. Cassius, when Caesar lived, he durst not thus have mobbed me. Brutus, peace, peace. You durst not so have tempted him. Cassius, I durst not. Brutus, no, Cassius, what? Durst not tempt him. Brutus, for your life you durst not. Cassius, do not presume too much upon my love. I may do that I shall be sorry for. Brutus, you have done that you should be sorry for. There is no terror, Cassius, in your threats. For I am armed so strong in honesty that they pass by me as the idle wind. Respect not. I did send to you, for certain sums of gold which you denied me, for I can raise no money by vile means. By heaven, I had rather coin my heart and drop my blood for drachmas than to wring from the hard hands of peasants their vile trash by any indirection. I did send to you for gold to pay my legions, which you denied me. Was that done like Cassius? Should I have answered Caius Cassius so, when Marcus Brutus grows so covetous, to lock such rascal counters from his friends? Be ready, gods, with all your thunderbolts. Dash him to pieces, Cassius. I denied you not, Brutus, you did, Cassius, I did not. He was but a fool that brought my answer back. Brutus hath rived my heart. A friend should bear his friend's infirmities, but Brutus makes mine greater than they are, Brutus. I do not, till you practice them on me, Cassius, you love me not, Brutus. I do not like your faults, Cassius. A friendly eye could never see such faults, Brutus. A flatterer would not, though they do appear as huge as high Olympus. Cassius, come, Antony and young Octavius, come, revenge yourselves alone on Cassius. For Cassius is aweary of the world, hated by one he loves, braved by his brother, checked like a bondman, all his faults observed, set in a notebook, learned and conned by rote, to cast into my teeth. Oh, I could weep my spirit from mine eyes. There is my dagger, and here my naked breast, within a heart, dearer than Plutus, mine, richer than gold. If that thou beest he a Roman, take it forth. I that denied thee gold will give my heart, strike as thou didst at Caesar, for I know, when thou didst hate him worst, thou lovedst him better than ever thou lovedst Cassius. Brutus, sheath your dagger, be angry when you will, it shall have scope, do what you will, dishonor shall be humor. O Cassius, you are yoked with a lamb that carries anger as the flint bears fire. Who much enforced shows a hasty spark, and straight is cold again. Cassius, hath Cassius lived, to be but mirth and laughter to his Brutus. When grief and blood ill-tempered vexeth him, Brutus, when I spoke that I was ill-tempered too, Cassius, do you confess so much? Give me your hand, Brutus, and my heart too, Cassius. O Brutus, Brutus, what's the matter, Cassius? Have not you love enough to bear with me, when that rash humor which my mother gave me makes me forgetful, Brutus? Yes, Cassius, and from henceforth, when you are over-earnest with your Brutus, he'll think your mother chides and leave you so. Enter, poet, followed by Lucilius Titinius. And Lucius, poet, within. Let me go in to see the generals, there is some grudge between them. Tease not meat, they be alone, Lucilius. Within, you shall not come to them, poet. Within, nothing but death shall stay me, Cassius. How now, what's the matter, poet? For shame, you generals, what do you mean, love and be friends as two such men should be, for I have seen more years, I'm sure, than ye, Cassius? Ha ha, how vilely doth this cynic rhyme, Brutus. Get you hence, sirrah. Saucy fellow, hence, Cassius. Bear with him, Brutus. Tease his fashion, Brutus. I'll know his humor when he knows his time. What should the wars do with these jigging fools? Companion, hence Cassius, away, away, be gone, exit poet. Brutus, Lucilius, and Titinius bid the commanders prepare to lodge their companies tonight, Cassius, and come yourselves and bring Messala with you immediately to us. Exeunt Lucilius and Titinius. Brutus, Lucius, a bowl of wine, exit Lucius. Cassius, I did not think you could have been so angry, Brutus. O Cassius, I am sick of many griefs. Cassius, of your philosophy you make no use. If you give place to accidental evils, Brutus, no man bears sorrow better. Portia is dead, Cassius, ha, Portia, Brutus, she is dead, Cassius. How scapped I killing when I crossed you so, O insupportable and touching loss upon what sickness, Brutus, impatient of my absence, and grief that young Octavius with Mark Antony, have made themselves so strong, for with her death, that tidings came. With this she fell distract. And her attendants absent, swallowed fire, Cassius, and died so, Brutus, even so, Cassius, O ye immortal gods, enter Lucius, with wine and a taper, Brutus, speak no more of her. Give me a bowl of wine, in this I bury all unkindness, Cassius, drinks. Cassius, my heart is thirsty for that noble pledge, fill Lucius till the wine o'erswell the cup. I cannot drink too much of Brutus, love, drinks. Exit Lucius. Enter Titinius and Messala. Brutus, come in, Titinius, welcome, good Messala. Now sit we close about this taper here, and call in question our necessities. Cassius, Portia, art thou gone, Brutus? No more, I pray you. Messala, I have here received letters, that young Octavius and Mark Antony come down upon us with a mighty power, bending their expedition toward Philippi. Messala, myself have letters of the selfsame tenor, Brutus, with what addition, Messala, that by proscription and bills of outlawry, Octavius, Antony, and Lepidus have put to death 100 senators, Brutus. Therein our letters do not well agree. Mine speak of 70 senators that died by their proscriptions, Cicero being one, Cassius, Cicero one, Messala, Cicero is dead, and by that order of proscription, had ye your letters from your wife, my lord, Brutus, no, Messala, Messala, nor nothing in your letters rid of her, Brutus, nothing, Messala, Messala, that methinks is strange, Brutus, why ask you? Hear you aught of her in yours, Messala, no, my lord, Brutus. Now as you are a Roman, tell me true, Messala. Then like a Roman bear the truth I tell, for certain she is dead, and by strange manner, Brutus. Why, farewell, Portia, we must die, Messala, with meditating that she must die once. I have the patience to endure it now, Messala. Even so great men great losses should endure, Cassius. I have as much of this in art as you, but yet my nature could not bear it so, Brutus. Well, to our work alive. What do you think of marching to Philippi presently, Cassius? I do not think it good, Brutus. Your reason, Cassius. This it is, 'tis better that the enemy seek us, so shall he waste his means, weary his soldiers, doing himself offense, whilst we, lying still, are full of rest, defense, and nimbleness. Brutus. Good reasons must a force give place to better. The people twixt Philippi and this ground do stand but in a forced affection, for they have grudged us contribution. The enemy, marching along by them shall make a fuller number up. Come on refreshed, new added, and encouraged, from which advantage shall we cut him off? If at Philippi we do face him there, these people at our back, Cassius, hear me, good brother, Brutus, under your pardon. You must note besides, that we have tried the utmost of our friends, our legions are brimful, our cause is ripe. The enemy increaseth every day, we at the height are ready to decline. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune, omitted, all the voyage of their life. Is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures, Cassius. Then with your will go on, wheel along ourselves, and meet them at Philippi, Brutus. The deep of night is crept upon our talk, and nature must obey necessity, which we will niggard with a little rest. There is no more to say, Cassius, no more. Good night, early tomorrow will we rise, and hence enter Lucius. Brutus, Lucius, my gown. Exit, Lucius. Farewell now, good Messala, good night, Titinius. Noble, noble Cassius, good night and good repose, Cassius. Oh, my dear brother, this was an ill beginning of the night. Never come such division tween our souls, let it not, Brutus. Enter Lucius with the gown, Brutus. Everything is well, Cassius. Good night, my lord, Brutus. Good night, good brother, Titinius and Emmius Sala. Good night, lord Brutus, Brutus, farewell, everyone. Exeunt Cassius, Titinius, and Messala. Give me the gown. Where is thy instrument, Lucius? Here in the tent, Brutus. What thou speak'st thee drowsily, poor knave, I blame thee not, thou art o'erwatched. Call Claudius and some other of my men, I'll have them sleep on cushions in my tent. Lucius, Varro, and Claudius. Enter, Varro, and Claudius. Varro. Calls my lord, Brutus. I pray you, sirs, lie in my tent and sleep. It may be I shall raise you by and by, on business to my brother Cassius far, so please you, we will stand and watch your pleasure. Brutus, I will not have it so, lie down, good sirs. It may be I shall otherwise bethink me. Look, Lucius, here's the book I sought for so, I put it in the pocket of my gown. Servants, lie down. Lucius, I was sure your lordship did not give it me. Brutus, bear with me, good boy, I am much forgetful. Canst thou hold up thy heavy eyes a while, and touch thy instrument a strain or two, Lucius? I, my lord, an't please you, Brutus, it does, my boy, I trouble thee too much, but thou art willing, Lucius, it is my duty, sir, Brutus, I should not urge thy duty past thy might, I know young bloods look for a time of rest, Lucius, I have slept, my lord, already, Brutus, it was well done, and thou shalt sleep again, I will not hold thee long. If I do live, I will be good to thee. Lucius, plays and sings till he falls. Asleep, this is a sleepy tune, O murderous slumber, layest thou thy leaden mace upon my boy, that plays thee music? Gentle knave, good night, I will not do thee so much wrong to wake thee. If thou dost nod, thou breakst thee thy instrument, I'll take it from thee, and good boy, good night. Let me see, is not the leaf turned down? Where I left reading, here it is, I think, enter the ghost of Caesar. How ill this taper burns. Ha, who comes here? I think it is the weakness of mine eyes. That shapes this monstrous apparition. It comes upon me. Art thou anything? Art thou some god, some angel, or some devil? That maxed my blood cold and my hair to stare, speak to me what thou art, ghost, thy evil spirit, Brutus, Brutus, why comest thee thou, ghost, to tell thee thou shalt see me at Philippi, Brutus? Well then I shall see thee again, ghost, I at Philippi, Brutus, why I will see thee at Philippi then, ghost, vanishes. Now I have taken heart, thou vanishest, ill spirit, I would hold more talk with thee. Boy, Lucius, Varro, Claudius, sirs, awake, Claudius, Lucius, the strings, my lord, are false. Brutus, he thinks he still is at his instrument. Lucius, awake, Lucius. My lord, Brutus, didst thou dream, Lucius, that thou so creedst out? Lucius, my lord, I do not know that I did cry, Brutus. Yes, that thou didst. Didst thou see anything, Lucius? Nothing, my lord, Brutus. Sleep again, Lucius. Sirrah Claudius, fellow thou, awake, Varro, my lord, Claudius, my lord, Brutus. Why did you so cry out, sirs, in your sleep? Varro, Claudius, did we, my lord, Brutus? I saw you anything, Varro? No, my lord, I saw nothing, Claudius, nor I, my lord, Brutus. Go and commend me to my brother Cassius, bid him set on his powers betimes before, and we will follow, Varro. Claudius, it shall be done, my lord. Exeunt. ACTV, seen I the plains of Philippi, enter Octavius, Antony, and their army, Octavius. Now, Antony, our hopes are answered. You said the enemy would not come down, but keep the hills and upper regions. It proves not so, their battles are at hand. They mean to warn us at Philippi here, answering before we do demand of them, Antony. Tut, I am in their bosoms, and I know, wherefore they do it. They could be content to visit other places and come down, with fearful bravery, thinking by this face. To fasten in our thoughts that they have courage, but Aeodes not so, enter a messenger. Messenger, prepare you, generals. The enemy comes on in gallant show, their bloody sign of battle is hung out, and something to be done immediately, Antony, Octavius, lead your battle softly on, upon the left hand of the even field, Octavius. Upon the right hand I keep thou the left, Antony, why do you cross me in this exigent, Octavius? I do not cross you, but I will do so. March. Drum. Enter, Brutus, Cassius. And their army, Lucilius, Titinius, Messala, and others, Brutus, they stand and would have parley, Cassius. Stand fast, Titinius, we must out and talk, Octavius. Mark Antony, shall we give sign of battle, Antony? No, Caesar, we will answer on their charge. Make forth, the generals would have some words, Octavius. Stir not until the signal, Brutus, words before blows. Is it so, countrymen, Octavius? Not that we love words better as you do, Brutus. Good words are better than bad strokes, Octavius. Antony. In your bad strokes, Brutus, you give good words, witness the hole you made in Caesar Ou's heart, crying, Ou long live. Hail, Caesar, Ou, Cassius, Antony, the posture of your blows are yet unknown, but for your words they rob the Hybla bees and leave them honeyless, Antony, not stingless too, Brutus, oh yes, and soundless too, for you have stall a on their buzzing, Antony, and very wisely threat before you sting, Antony. Villains, you did not so when your vile daggers. Hack aod one another in the sides of Caesar, you show aod your teeth like apes and fawn aod like hounds, and bow aod like bondmen, kissing Caesar Ou's feet, whilst damned Casca, like a cur behind, struck Caesar on the neck. O you flatterers, Cassius, flatterers! Now, Brutus, think yourself. This tongue had not offended so today, if Cassius might have rull aod Octavius. Come, come the cause, if arguing makes us sweat, the proof of it will turn to redder drops. Look, I draw a sword against conspirators. When think you that the sword goes up again? Never, till Caesar Ou's 33 wounds, be well avang aod, or till another Caesar have added slaughter to the sword of traitors. Brutus, Caesar, thou canst not die by traitors' outhands, unless thou bring us them with thee, Octavius, so I hope. I was not born to die on Brutus' outsword, Brutus. Oh, if thou wert the noblest of thy strain, young man, thou couldst not die more honorable, Cassius, a peevish schoolboy, worthless of such honor. Join Ad with a masker and a reveler, Antony, old Cassius still Octavius. Come, Antony, away, defiance, traitors, hurl we in your teeth if you dare fight today, come to the field, if not, when you have stomachs. Exeunt Octavius, Antony, and their army. Cassius, why now, blow wind, swell billow, and swim bark, the storm is up and all is on the hazard, Brutus. Ho, Lucilius, hark, a word with you, Lucilius, my lord. Brutus and Lucilius talk apart. Cassius, Messala, Messala. What says my general, Cassius? Messala, this is my birthday, as this very day was Cassius born. Give me thy hand, Messala, be thou my witness that against my will as Pompey was, am I compel Ad to set. Upon one battle all our liberties, you know that I held Epicurus strong, and his opinion. Now I change my mind, and partly credit things that do presage, coming from Sardis on our former ensign, two mighty eagles fell, and there they perch Ad, gorging and feeding from our soldiers' out hands. Who to Philippi here consorted us? This morning are they fled away and gone, and in their steads do ravens, crows, and kites. Fly, O, o'er our heads and downward look on us, as we were sickly prey, their shadows seem. A canopy most fatal under which our army lies, ready to give up the ghost, Messala, believe not so, Cassius, I but believe it partly, for I am fresh of spirit and resolve, Ad, to meet all perils very constantly, Brutus, even so, Lucilius, Cassius, now most noble Brutus. The gods today stand friendly, that we may, lovers in peace, lead on our days to age, but since the affairs of men rest still uncertain, let us reason with the worst that may befall. If we do lose this battle, then is this the very last time we shall speak together. What are you then determined to do, Brutus? Even by the rule of that philosophy, by which I did blame Cato for the death, which he did give himself, I know not how, but I do find it cowardly and vile. For fear of what might fall, so to prevent the time of life, arming myself with patience, to stay the providence of some high powers that govern us below, Cassius. Then if we lose this battle, you are contented to be led in triumph through the streets of Rome, Brutus. No, Cassius, no, think not, thou noble Roman, that ever Brutus will go bound to Rome, he bears too great a mind. But this same day must end that work the Ides of March begun, and whether we shall meet again, I know not. Therefore our everlasting farewell take, forever and forever farewell, Cassius. If we do meet again, why, we shall smile, if not, why then this parting was well made, Cassius, forever and forever farewell, Brutus. If we do meet again, we all smile indeed, if not, Aeodes, true, this parting was well made, Brutus, why then lead on. Oh, that a man might know the end of this day, ow's business ere it come, but it sufficeth that the day will end, and then the end is known. Come, ho, away, exeunt. Scene II. The same, the field of battle, alarum, enter Brutus and Messala. Brutus, ride, ride, Messala, ride, and give these bills unto the legions on the other side. Loud alarum. Let them set on at once, for I perceive, but cold demeanor in Octavius' out wing, and sudden push gives them the overthrow. Ride, ride, Messala, let them all come down. Exeunt. Scene II, another part of the field, alarum. Enter Cassius and Titinius. Cassius, oh, look, Titinius, look, the villains fly. Myself have to mine own turn, Ad enemy. This ensign here of mine was turning back, I slew the coward, and did take it from him, Titinius. O Cassius, Brutus gave the word too early, who, having some advantage on Octavius, took it too eagerly, his soldiers fell to spoil. Whilst we by Antony are all enclosed, Ad, enter, Pindarus. Pindarus, fly further off, my lord, fly further off, Mark Antony is in your tents, my lord. Fly therefore, noble Cassius, fly far off, Cassius, this hill is far. Look, look, Titinius, are those my tents where I perceive the fire, Titinius? They are, my lord, Cassius, Titinius, if thou lovest me, mount thou my horse and hide thy spurs in him, till he have brought thee up to yonder troops, and here again that I may rest assure, Ad, whether yon troops are friend or enemy, Titinius, I will be here again, even with a thought. Exit. Cassius, go, Pindarus, get higher on that hill, my sight was ever thick. Regard Titinius, and tell me what thou noticed about the field. Pindarus goes up. This day I breathed first. Time is come round, and where I did begin, there shall I end, my life is run his compass. Sirrah, what news, Pindarus, above? O my lord Cassius, what news, Pindarus, above? Titinius is enclosed round about, with horsemen that make to him on the spur, yet he spurs on. Now they are almost on him, now Titinius, now some light, oh, he lights too, he ows ta own. Shout, and hark, they shout for joy. Cassius, come down, behold no more, O coward that I am to live so long, to see my best friend Ta'aun before my face. Pindarus descends. Come hither, sirrah. In Parthia did I take thee prisoner, and then I swore thee, saving of thy life, that whatsoever I did bid thee do, thou shouldst attempt it. Come now, keep thine oath, now be a freeman, and with this good sword, that ran through Caesar's bowels, search this bosom, stand not to answer. Here take thou the hilts, and when my face is cover Aeod as Aeodes now, guide thou the sword, A Caesar, thou art revenge Aeod, even with the sword that kill Aeod thee, dies. Pindarus, so I am free yet would not so have been, durst I have done my will. O Cassius, far from this country Pindarus shall run, where never Roman shall take note of him. Exit. Enter Titinius, with Messala. Messala, it is but change Titinius for Octavius, is overthrown by noble Brutus out power. As Cassius out legions are by Antony, Titinius, these tidings would well comfort Cassius, Messala, where did you leave him, Titinius, all disconsolate, with Pindarus his bondman on this hill, Messala, is not that he that lies upon the ground, Titinius, he lies not like the living. O my heart, Messala, is not that he Titinius, no, this was he, Messala, but Cassius is no more. O setting sun, as in thy red rays thou dost sink tonight, so in his red blood Cassius out day is set, the sun of Rome is set. Our day is gone, clouds, dews, and dangers come, our deeds are done. Mistrust of my success hath done this deed, Messala. Mistrust of good success hath done this deed. O hateful error, melancholy ous child. Why dost thou show to the apt thoughts of men the things that are not? O error, soon conceive Aeod, thou never come Aeost unto a happy birth. But kill Aeost the mother that engender Aeod thee, Titinius. What, Pindarus? Where art thou, Pindarus, Messala? Seek him, Titinius, whilst I go to meet. The noble Brutus, thrusting this report into his ears. I may say thrusting it for piercing steel and darts envenomed, shall be as welcome to the ears of Brutus, as tidings of the sight, Titinius, hie you, Messala, and I will seek for Pindarus the while. Exit, Messala. Why didst thou send me forth, brave Cassius, did I not meet thy friends? And did not they put on my brows this wreath of victory, and bid me give it thee? Didst thou not hear their shouts, alas, thou hast misconstrued everything? But hold thee, take this garland on thy brow, thy Brutus bid me give it thee, and I will do his bidding. Brutus, come apace, and see how I regarded Caius Cassius. By your leave, gods, this is a Roman ous part. Come Cassius ous sword and find Titinius ous heart. Dies. Alarum. Enter Brutus, Messala, young Cato, Strato, Volumnius, and Lucilius. Brutus, where Messala doth his body lie, Messala? Lo, yonder, and Titinius mourning it. Brutus, Titinius ous face is upward. Cato. He is slain, Brutus. O Julius Caesar, thou art mighty yet, thy spirit walks abroad and turns our swords, in our own proper entrails. Lo, alarums. Cato, brave Titinius, look whether he have not crowned Aeod dead Cassius, Brutus. Are yet two Romans living such as these, the last of all the Romans, fare thee well, it is impossible that ever Rome should breed thy fellow. Friends, I owe more tears to this dead man than you shall see me pay. I shall find time, Cassius, I shall find time. Come therefore, and to Thasos send his body. His funeral shall not be in our camp, lest it discomfort us. Lucilius, come and come, young Cato, led us to the field. Labio and Flavius set our battles on, out 'tis 3 o'clock, and Romans, yet ere night, we shall try fortune in a second fight. Exeunt, scene IV, another part of the field, alarum. Enter fighting soldiers of both armies, then Brutus, Messala, young Cato, Lucilius, Flavius, and others, Brutus. Yet countrymen, oh, yet hold up your heads, Cato, what bastard doth not? Who will go with me, I will proclaim my name about the field. I am the son of Marcus Cato, ho, a foe to tyrants and my country ous friend. I am the son of Marcus Cato, ho, charges the enemy. Lucilius, and I am Brutus, Marcus Brutus, I Brutus, my country ous friend, know me for Brutus. Exit, charging the enemy, Cato is overpowered and falls. Lucilius, O young and noble Cot, art thou down? Why now thou deest as bravely as Titinius, and mayst be honor Aeod, being Cato ous son, first soldier, yield or thou deest? Lucilius, only I yield to die, there is so much that thou wilt kill me straight, offering money. Kill Brutus and be honor Aeod in his death, first soldier, we must not. A noble prisoner, second soldier, room ho, tell Antony Brutus is Ta'aun, first soldier. Ael, tell the news. Here comes the general, enter Antony. Brutus is Ta'aun, Brutus is Ta'aun, my lord. Antony, where is he, Lucilius? Safe, Antony, Brutus is safe enough. I dare assure thee that no enemy shall ever take alive the noble Brutus. The gods defend him from so great a shame, when you do find him, or alive or dead, he will be found like Brutus, like himself. Antony, this is not Brutus, friend, but I assure you, a prize no less in worth. Keep this man safe, give him all kindness. I had rather have such men my friends than enemies. Go on. And see whether Brutus be alive or dead, and bring us word unto Octavius out tent, how everything is chank aod, exeunt. Seen via another part of the field enter Brutus, Dardanius, Clitus, Strato, and Volumnius. Brutus, come, poor remains of friends rest on this rock. Clitus, Statilius, show aod the torchlight, but my lord, he came not back, he is or ta own or slain. Brutus, sit thee down, Clitus. Slaying is the word, it is a deed in fashion. Hark thee, Clitus, whispering. Clitus, what I, my lord? No, not for all the world. Brutus, peace then, no words. Clitus, I'll rather kill myself. Brutus, hark thee, Dardanius, whispers him. Dardanius, shall I do such a deed? Clitus, O Dardanius, Dardanius, O Clitus, Clitus, what ill request did Brutus make to thee, Dardanius, to kill him? Clitus, look, he meditates. Clitus, now is that noble vessel full of grief, that it runs over even at his eyes. Brutus, come hither, good Volumnius, list a word. Volumnius, what says my lord? Brutus, why, this, Volumnius, the ghost of Caesar hath appeared aod to me, two several times by night, at Sardis once, and this last night here in Philippi fields. I know my hour is come, Volumnius. Not so, my lord. Brutus, nay, I am sure it is, Volumnius. Thou seest the world, Volumnius, how it goes. Our enemies have beat us to the pit. Lo, alarums. It is more worthy to leap in ourselves than tarry till they push us. Good Volumnius, thou know aeos that we two went to school together, even for that our love of old, I pr aethi. Hold thou my sword hilts whilst I run on it. Volumnius, that ows not an office for a friend, my lord. Alarum still. Clitus, fly, fly, my lord. There's no tarrying here. Brutus, farewell to you. And you, Volumnius. Strato, thou hast been all this while asleep. Farewell to thee too. Strato, a countryman. My heart doth joy, that yet in all my life I found no man but he was true to me. I shall have glory by this losing day, more than Octavius and Mark Antony. By this vile conquest shall attain unto, so fare you well at once, for Brutus ow tongue hath almost ended his life ow's history. Night hangs upon mine eyes, my bones would rest, that have but labor aod to attain this hour. Alarums. Cry within, ow, fly, 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 ow. Clitus, fly, my lord, fly. Brutus, hence I will follow. Exeunt, Clitus, Dardanius, and Volumnius. I pr aethi, Strato, stay thou by thy lord. Thou art a fellow of a good respect, thy life hath had some smatch of honor in it. Hold then my sword, and turn away thy face, while I do run upon it. Wilt thou, Strato, Strato, give me your hand first. Fare you well, my lord. Brutus, farewell, good Strato. A Caesar, now be still, I kill aod not thee with half so good a will. He runs on his sword and dies. Alarum, retreat. Enter Antony, Octavius, Messala, Lucilius, and the army. Octavius, what man is that, Messala? My master ow's man. Strato, where is thy master, Strato? Free from the bondage you are in, Messala. The conquerors can but make a fire of him, for Brutus only overcame himself, and no man else hath honor by his death. Lucilius, so Brutus should be found. I thank thee, Brutus, that thou hast prov aod Lucilius ow saying true. Octavius, all that serve aod Brutus I will entertain them. Fellow, wilt thou bestow thy time with me, Strato? I, if Messala will prefer me to you, Octavius, do so, good Messala. Messala, how died my master? Strato, Strato, I held the sword, and he did run on it. Messala, Octavius, then take him to follow thee. That did the latest service to my master. Antony, this was the noblest Roman of them all, all the conspirators save only he. Did that they did in envy of great Caesar, he only in a general honest thought, and common good to all, made one of them. His life was gentle, and the elements so mix aod in him that nature might stand up, and say to all the world, ow, this was a man, ow, Octavius, according to his virtue let us use him. With all respect and rites of burial, within my tent his bones tonight shall lie, most like a soldier, order aod honorably, so call the field to rest, and let ows away, to part the glories of this happy day. Exeunt. Transcriber ows notes. New original cover art included with this ebook is granted to the public domain. End of the project. GUTMBRG EBOOK Julius Caesar asterisk. Updated editions will replace the previous one-eighth old editions will be renamed. Creating the works from print editions not protected by U.S. copyright. Law means that no one owns a United States copyright in these works, so the foundation and you can copy and distribute it in the United States without permission and without paying copyright royalties. Special rules set forth in the general terms of use part of this license apply to copying and distributing project. Gutenberg and Tilde Sense electronic works to protect the project Gutenberg and Tilde Sense concept and trademark. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark, and may not be used if you charge for an ebook, except by following the terms of the trademark license, including paying royalties for use of the Project Gutenberg trademark. If you do not charge anything for copies of this ebook, complying with the trademark license is very easy. You may use this ebook for nearly any purpose, such as creation of derivative works, reports, performances, and research. Project Gutenberg ebooks may be modified and printed and given away. You may do practically anything in the United States with ebooks not protected by U.S. copyright law. Redistribution is subject to the trademark license, especially commercial redistribution. Start full license. The full Project Gutenberg and Tilde Sense license. Please read this before you distribute or use this work. To protect the Project Gutenberg and Tilde Sense mission of promoting the free distribution of electronic works by using or distributing this work, or any other work associated in any way with the phrase EU Project Gutenberg EU, you agree to comply with all the terms of the full Project Gutenberg license available with this file or online at www.gutenberg.org/license. Section 1. General Terms of Use and Redistributing Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. 1A. By reading or using any part of this Project Gutenberg electronic work, you indicate that you have read, understand, agree to, and accept all the terms of this license and intellectual property trademark copyright agreement. If you do not agree to abide by all the terms of this agreement, you must cease using and return or destroy all copies of Project Gutenberg electronic works in your possession. If you paid a fee for obtaining a copy of or access to a Project Gutenberg electronic work and you do not agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement, you may obtain a refund from the person or entity to whom you paid the fee as set forth in paragraph 1E8. 1B. EU Project Gutenberg EU is a registered trademark. It may only be used on or associated in any way with an electronic work by people who agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement. There are a few things that you can do with most Project Gutenberg electronic works, even without complying with the full terms of this agreement. See paragraph 1C below. There are a lot of things you can do with Project Gutenberg electronic works if you follow the terms of this agreement and help preserve free future access to Project Gutenberg electronic works. See paragraph 1E below. 1C. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, ETH. Foundation EU, or PGLAF, owns a compilation copyright in the collection of Project Gutenberg electronic works. Nearly all the individual works in the collection are in the public domain in the United States. If an individual work is unprotected by copyright law in the United States and you are located in the United States, we do not claim a right to prevent you from copying, distributing, performing, displaying, or creating derivative works based on the work as long as all references to Project Gutenberg are removed. Of course, we hope that you will support the Project Gutenberg mission of promoting free access to electronic works by freely sharing Project Gutenberg works in compliance with the terms of this agreement for keeping the Project Gutenberg name associated with the work. You can easily comply with the terms of this agreement by keeping this work in the same format with its attached full Project Gutenberg license when you share it without charge with others. 1D. The copyright laws of the place where you are located also govern what you can do with this work. Copyright laws in most countries are in a constant state of change. If you are outside the United States, check the laws of your country in addition to the terms of this agreement before downloading, copying, displaying, performing, distributing, or creating derivative works based on this work or any other Project Gutenberg work. The Foundation makes no representations concerning the copyright status of any work in any country other than the United States. 1E. Unless you have removed all references to Project Gutenberg, 1E1, the following sentence with active links to or other immediate access to the full Project Gutenberg license must appear prominently whenever any copy of a Project Gutenberg work, any work, on which the phrase EU Project Gutenberg EU appears or with which the phrase EU Project Gutenberg EU is associated, is accessed, displayed, performed, viewed, copied, or distributed. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg and Tilde Sense license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. 1. E2. If an individual project Gutenberg electronic work is derived from texts not protected by U.S. copyright law, does not contain a notice indicating that it is posted with permission of the copyright holder, the work can be copied and distributed to anyone in the United States without paying any fees or charges. If you are redistributing or providing access to a work with the phrase EU project Gutenberg EU associated with or appearing on the work, you must comply either with the requirements of paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 or obtain permission for the use of the work and the project Gutenberg trademark as set forth in paragraphs 1E8 or 1E9. 1. E3. If an individual project Gutenberg electronic work is posted with the permission of the copyright holder, your use and distribution must comply with both paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 and any additional terms imposed by the copyright holder. Additional terms will be linked to the Project Gutenberg license for all works posted with the permission of the copyright holder found at the beginning of this work. 1. E4. Do not unlink or detach or remove the full Project Gutenberg license terms from this work or any files containing a part of this work or any other work associated with Project Gutenberg. 1. E5. Do not copy, display, perform, distribute, or redistribute this electronic work or any part of this electronic work without prominently displaying the sentence set forth in paragraph 1E1 with active links or immediate access to the full terms of the project Gutenberg license. 1. E6. You may convert to and distribute this work in any binary, compressed, marked up, non-proprietary or proprietary form, including any word processing or hypertext form. However, if you provide access to or distribute copies of a Project Gutenberg work in a format other than EU plain vanilla ASCII EU or other format used in the official version posted on the official Project Gutenberg website, www.gutenberg.org, you must, at no additional cost, fee, or expense to the user, provide a copy, a means of exporting a copy, or a means of obtaining a copy upon request of the work in its original EU plain vanilla ASCII EU or other form. Any alternate format must include the full Project Gutenberg license as specified in paragraph 1E1, 1E7. Do not charge a fee for access to, viewing, displaying, performing, copying, or distributing any Project Gutenberg works, unless you comply with paragraph 1E8 or 1E9. 1. E8. You may charge a reasonable fee for copies of or providing access to or distributing Project Gutenberg electronic works, provided that, a umlautsense, you pay a royalty fee of 20% of the gross profits you derive from the use of Project Gutenberg works calculated using the method you already use to calculate your applicable taxes. The fee is owed to the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, but he has agreed to donate royalties under this paragraph to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Royalty payments must be paid within 60 days following each date on which you prepare or are legally required to prepare your periodic tax returns. Royalty payments should be clearly marked as such and sent to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation at the address specified in Section 4, EU Information About Donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. EU. A umlautsense, you provide a full refund of any money paid by a user who notifies you in writing or by email within 30 days of receipt that /he does not agree to the terms of the full Project Gutenberg until descents license. You must require such a user to return or destroy all copies of the works possessed in a physical medium and discontinue all use of and all access to other copies of Project Gutenberg until descents works. A umlautsense, you provide, in accordance with paragraph 1F3, a full refund of any money paid for a work or a replacement copy if a defect in the electronic work is discovered and reported to you within 90 days of receipt of the work. A umlautsense, you comply with all other terms of this agreement for free distribution of Project Gutenberg and tilde sense works. 1. E9. If you wish to charge a fee or distribute a Project Gutenberg and tilde sense electronic work or group of works on different terms than are set forth in this agreement, you must obtain permission in writing from the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the manager of the Project Gutenberg and tilde sense trademark. Contact the foundation as set forth in Section 3 below. 1. F1. F1. Project Gutenberg volunteers and employees expend considerable effort to identify, do copyright research on, transcribe, and proofread works not protected by U.S. copyright law in creating the project. Gutenberg and Tilde Sense Collection. Despite these efforts, Project Gutenberg and Tilde Sense, electronic works and the medium on which they may be stored may contain AU defects, AU such as but not limited to incomplete, inaccurate, or corrupt data, transcription errors, a copyright or other, intellectual property infringement, a defective or damaged disk or other medium, a computer virus or computer codes that damage or cannot be read by your equipment. 1. F2. Limited warranty, disclaimer of DAMAGES, except for the AU right of replacement or refund AU described in paragraph 1F3, the project. Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the owner of the project. Gutenberg and Tilde Sense trademark, and any other party distributing a project. Gutenberg and Tilde Sense electronic work under this agreement, disclaim all liability to you for damages, costs, and expenses, including legal fees. You agree that you have no remedies for negligence, strict liability, breach of warranty, or breach of contract except those provided in paragraph 1F3. You agree that the foundation, THE, trademark owner, and any distributor under this agreement will not be liable to you for actual, direct, indirect, consequential, punitive or incidental damages, even if you give notice of the possibility of such damage. 1F3. Limited right of replacement or refund. If you discover a defect in this electronic work within 90 days of receiving it, you can receive a refund of the money, if any, you paid for it by sending a written explanation to the person you received the work from. If you receive the work on a physical medium, you must return the medium with your written explanation. The person or entity that provided you with the defective work may elect to provide a replacement copy in lieu of a refund. If you receive the work electronically, the person or entity providing it to you may choose to give you a second opportunity to receive the work electronically in lieu of a refund. If the second copy is also defective, you may demand a refund in writing without further opportunities to fix the problem. 1F4. Except for the limited right of replacement or refund set forth in paragraph 1F3, this work is provided to you AU as is AU, with no other warranties of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to warranties of merchantability or fitness for any purpose. 1F5. Some states do not allow disclaimers of certain implied warranties or the exclusion or limitation of certain types of damages. If any disclaimer or limitation set forth in this agreement violates the law of the state applicable to this agreement, the agreement shall be interpreted to make the maximum disclaimer or limitation permitted by the applicable state law. The invalidity or unenforceability of any provision of this agreement shall not void the remaining provisions. 1F6. Indemnity. You agree to indemnify and hold the foundation, the trademark owner, any agent or employee of the foundation, anyone providing copies of Project Gutenberg and Tilde Sense electronic works in accordance with this agreement, and any volunteers associated with the production, promotion, and distribution of Project Gutenberg and Tilde Sense electronic works, harmless from all liability, costs, and expenses, including legal fees that arise directly or indirectly from any of the following which you do or cause to occur: a distribution of this or any Project Gutenberg work; b, alteration, modification, or additions or deletions to any Project Gutenberg work; and c, any defect you cause. Section 2. Information about the mission of Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is synonymous with the free distribution of electronic works in formats readable by the widest variety of computers, including obsolete, old, middle-aged, and new computers. It exists because of the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and donations from people in all walks of life, volunteers and financial support to provide volunteers with the assistance they need are critical to reaching Project Gutenberg AU's goals and ensuring that the Project Gutenberg collection will remain freely available for generations to come. In 2001, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation was created to provide a secure and permanent future for Project Gutenberg and future generations. To learn more about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation and how your efforts and donations can help, see Sections 3 and 4 and the Foundation Information page at www.gutenberg.org. Gutenberg, org, section 3. Information about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation is a nonprofit, 501(c)(3) educational corporation organized under the laws of the state of Mississippi and granted tax-exempt status by the Internal Revenue Service. The foundation owes EIN or federal tax identification. Number is 64622-1541. Contributions to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation are tax-deductible to the full extent permitted by U.S. federal laws and your state OWS laws. The Foundation OWS business office is located at 41 Watchung Plaza 516, Montclair NJ 7042, USA, +1-862-621-9288. Email contact links and up-to-date contact information can be found at the Foundation OWS website and official page at www.gutenberg.org/contact, section 4. Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Project Gutenberg and Tilde Sense depends upon and cannot survive without widespread public support and donations to carry out its mission of increasing the number of public domain and licensed works that can be freely distributed in machine-readable form accessible by the widest array of equipment, including outdated equipment. Many small donations, $1 to $5,000, are particularly important to maintaining tax-exempt status with the IRS. The foundation is committed to complying with the laws regulating charities and charitable donations in all 50 states of the United States. Compliance requirements are not uniform, and it takes a considerable effort, much paperwork, and many fees to meet and keep up with these requirements. We do not solicit donations in locations where we have not received written confirmation of compliance. To send donations or determine the status of compliance for any particular state, visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. While we cannot and do not solicit contributions from states where we have not met the solicitation requirements, we know of no prohibition against accepting unsolicited donations from donors in such states who approach us with offers to donate. International donations are gratefully accepted, but we cannot make any statements concerning tax treatment of donations received from outside the United States. U.S. laws alone swamp our small staff. Please check the Project Gutenberg web pages for current donation methods and addresses. Donations are accepted in a number of other ways, including checks, online payments, and credit card donations. To donate, please visit www.gutenberg.org/donate, section 5. General information about Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. Professor Michael S. Hart was the originator of the Project Gutenberg concept of a library of electronic works that could be freely shared with anyone. For 40 years, he produced and distributed Project Gutenberg ebooks with only a loose network of volunteer support. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as not protected by copyright in the U.S. unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we do not necessarily keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. Most people start at our website, which has the main PG search facility, www.gutenberg.org. This website includes information about Project Gutenberg, including how to make donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about new ebooks. This is the end of the audiobook. Thank you for listening. You can listen to and download more audiobooks at threeords.com.